much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Let this abomination unto the Lord begin.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy.
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
What the hell is wrong with you?
I'm retarded. What's wrong with you?
Nothing.
Then when does your face look like that?
Like what?
Ugly. Zing. High five.
That's real talk right there, man.
Anyway, it's happening tonight at the Wiltern Theater. I hope you all have a front row. At the Wiltern Theater on Wiltshire and Western in Los Angeles.
Yeah. Well, I'm just not sure about that right now.
Hey, guys, I have a bet with a friend. I was wondering if you could help settle it. Who did Mulder and Scully work for on the show The X-Files? You know, what government agency? Dean, do you have any idea?
And now...
I think I know what you mean.
Our feature presentation.
Wow, set up himself and then didn't do it.
Yeah.
Come on. How about that? Didn't see that coming, did you?
No way. Morning, everybody. It's Kevin and Bean Show. It is 5:31 on a Tuesday morning. What's happening?
Well, the radio station is falling apart. We may or may not have Kevin and Bean's What to Do Nephew today. You can go ahead and try to call. Our phones just collapsed a moment ago, but the number is 1-800-520-1067. Toll-free number. You can get on the air and get a prize.
Doesn't it seem like our phones collapse more than the average phone?
More than my phone?
It does. We struggle.
I don't know what the deal is around here, but it's...
We're an epic fail.
We are barely hanging on every day. We're having to rebuild stuff.
Yep.
I don't know what happens during the day or night, but stuff falls apart quickly.
We need cameras here at night.
We need cameras here all day.
Yeah. There's stuff. You know, there's stuff that happens.
Yeah.
We would be shocked
at. And you go, who was using that machine and for what?
Yeah.
How did that happen?
And why are there 50 chairs in here today? Well, and yesterday there were none.
Last night there was a band in here for Furious 5 at 9.
That'll do
which
it.
Is a local show here.
And things just explode?
Well, no. Nicole Alvarez had an entire band and their entourage in here. It was the band All Time Low. So I was here last night. There was probably 14 people in studio. So that's a big difference than the average jock shift.
Absolutely. You're right. It makes a big difference.
How many people can All Time Low travel with?
400, it turns out.
Sounds like a big crowd for a band like that, I would think.
So we're trying to rebuild it, but in a second, we're going to give it a shot. 1-800-520-1067.
Did you see where Jesus appeared yesterday?
No, where?
No.
Toast? A saw.
A saw?
Carpenter saw with the likeness of Jesus on the face of the saw blade. Seeing how Jesus was a carpenter, it seems only fitting that he appears on the tools of a carpenter. This is a Craigslist ad from Fresno. And they didn't say they're selling it or anything, just bragging, I guess. But they got a picture, and it just looks like a smudge. I mean, I guess if you're the type of person who sees Jesus in places, you could squint and make it look like a person who looks like Jesus, but it sure isn't automatic.
Yeah.
But a saw doesn't change from day to day unless, I guess, if you use it and it gets some scratches on it or something.
It doesn't change.
Looks like dirt.
It doesn't change enough that it should one day look like anything.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know.
So you think
it's
just dirt?
I don't have the answer.
Yeah, I think it's smudge from being tossed around a job site is what I think. But, yeah,
well, that sounds
times.
Holy to me.
Well, it just,
he's just in a saw.
We need to talk to him. Maybe if somebody knows him.
Jesus?
You know, in Fresno. No. No, the guys that own the saw.
Look, around here, it's a legitimate question.
Yeah, that's true. Unfortunately, it is. No, but it's somebody there maybe knows the family that has the saw, and who knows? So a lot of times they set stuff up, and they, you know, get a line, and people come over, and they all take pictures. And
yeah, well, we've got the mighty Kevin and Bean Empire going on in Fresno, so maybe they've seen it on the local news there or something like that. They can let us know.
I love that stuff. I can't get over it. It's just so ridiculous. It's a bagel one time, and then it's water in the toilet the next. And
it gives
then
people hope, man.
Tree bark. If that's what we're looking for hope,
that's
though,
it.
I mean, come
that's
on.
That's what we got.
That can't be what
all
we have.
We got.
That's not all right. All right. Should we try the phones or no?
Are they you have? Can you see? Can you see? Is it working?
I see that there are calls. Right,
there are some people on hold.
But they won't tell you who they are.
Right. Well, let's give it a shot.
I have their names.
You do?
You don't? Yes, on line one, there's Frank.
Okay, I have two of them written down by hand, but I don't have it on my screen.
I do have it on my screen. Because my screen is better than yours.
How come her screen's better than ours?
Her screen's better than ours.
Would you like to talk to Frank on line one or Pete on line two?
Yes, we would.
Okay.
All right, well, let's do it. 1-800-520-1067.
We're sorry. You must first dial a 0 or 1.
What it do, nephew?
Get on the air. It's unlikely we'll be able to hear you, but if we do, you get a brand spanking new Kevin Bean t-shirt. That's your prize this morning, so let's give it a try and see how it works.
All right. Let's start with Frank. Hey, Frank.
Morning, party people.
Morning.
Morning, Lisa.
Good morning. What it do?
It's the end of an era.
End of an era.
Deep and tell them Keep is going out of business.
What? Crazy Gideon?
Really?
Crazy Gideon,
no more Crazy Gideon.
He can't go out of business. If we don't buy from him, we both lose money.
Hey, people are buying stuff out of back of trucks now.
Wow, that hurts.
That shows you how bad things are, people.
Yeah.
Because that's folks, where you go.
For folks who don't know, explain Crazy Gideon to people listening who may not be familiar with the chain.
Frank.
Hello? Yeah. Yes, I can't hear you guys.
He was asking you to explain Crazy Gideon for people who are not familiar with him.
Oh, well, he sells products real low and cheap where you would normally not get them at a Best Buy or retail store.
Right. He's downtown, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he has crazy.
He has all those wacky commercials that he's always been. He's one of those local guys. It seems like every city has one or two of those local businessmen that are nuts and do their own commercials and just...
He sells all kinds of electronics and fans and microwaves and...
Here's a little bit of the last time we had the great Crazy Gideon on our show.
Nobody can beat Crazy Gideon.
No, why is that? Because you...
Tuck them high and I let them fly.
That's what I thought, yeah.
I stuck them deep and I sell them cheap.
They can't compete against you, Crazy Gideon.
They cannot. You know why?
Why?
Because I'm crazy.
That's right.
And if you don't vote for me, you're crazy.
That's right. That's
what I'm... Well, apparently they can compete against Crazy Gideon now. But thank you for the call on that. We appreciate it.
That's a good tip. We got to get a hold of Crazy.
Yeah, we should.
What's going on?
Is that what we call him?
Yeah. His first name. Pete. Good morning.
Pete,
good
what'd it do?
What'd it do?
Hey, this is Lisa.
Hi. Got a new name.
Yeah.
Hey, I want to call in and complain about Inglourious Basterds. It was the worst movie ever.
This seems to be one of those movies that people love or hate.
You hated Inglourious Basterds? One of the worst ever?
We went, my buddy and I, we worked this 12-hour shift, right? We're iron workers. And we, all day, we're in the heat, and we built up a day around it. We even put a poster on our truck.
Right.
You know, and so we're all beat up. We go to the hotel, we shower up, and we go watch the movie. Oh, my God, dude, I fell asleep within, like, 45 minutes, 30 minutes. I couldn't handle it anymore.
What was your complaint? Just boring?
Yeah, it was. It was really boring. We're big Quentin fans. We thought he let us down. Cheering for him. Brad Pitt was in it for, like, 20 minutes.
You know, I don't know, Pete. When the state that you're in, I think, has a lot to do with your enjoyment of a movie. You've been out working for 12 hours, 14 hours in the sun. You're exhausted. I'm not surprised you went into a cool movie theater and fell asleep.
And if you fell
asleep,
I think
you need to try again.
If you fell asleep, how do you know that the movie didn't come back around and was good?
There you go. And it was a long movie. You need to be ready for that.
You need
to be rested and caffeined up.
I will admit that there were slow parts for me.
Yeah.
There were definitely slow parts, but I thought it was really great.
And Kevin doesn't have much tolerance for slow parts.
No, I don't at all.
I got to tell you.
Thank you for the call, Pete. All right, let's go to V. Hey, V.
What it do, nephew?
What it do?
Hey, baby boo.
Hey, V.
Hey, so I was at a Epic Center this weekend, and... Douchey, the douchebag douchemeister.
Psycho Mike.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So he's like really, really loud. And what he did was he yelled out, "Hello!" And then he...
How did he do that?
He scared the F out of me.
How?
With his hello?
He
scared
was, like,
you at hello?
Really, really loud, yeah.
I'm sorry that the amplification system at a giant concert... might be a little loud. That's my fault.
Yeah, I'd say that's all on you, V.
Maybe.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
I will say, hold on, B, that I've done a lot of onstage intros. That was the loudest concert ever. It scared me. It shook this. I just did, like he said, hello, and the stage rumbled. It was the loudest system ever I've ever been exposed to.
Boy, that's the last thing you need with Psycho Mike.
Yeah,
that kind of amplification.
True.
All right, thank you for the call. Let's go to Jerry. Hi, Jerry.
Hey, Kevin and B. What'd it do?
What'd it do?
Hey, I just want to call and complain about the guy who complained about Inglourious Basterds.
Okay.
Well, I want to complain about you complaining about him. How do you like that?
Well, if you know Quentin Tarantino and you're a fan, like the guy said, you know that all his movies are about dialogues, like Pulp Fiction and Reservoir Dogs.
Right. It's more about that than the average movie.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I mean the movie didn't have as much action as maybe he wanted, but it was still a good movie.
Yeah, I thought so too, and I agree with you that that's his strength is crafting a movie where people talk like you kind of wish you could, but you never do.
Yeah, exactly.
Plus, the guy fell asleep. So, go back and see it, and then let us know what you thought. You can't rate a movie after falling asleep in it.
No.
Yeah, or working all day and. Yeah,
and then going to see a long movie like that.
Yeah, exactly. All right, thank you for the call.
Although they did put a sign on their truck.
They what? Yeah.
They put a sign. That's commitment.
Well, I mean, I think they were excited, but then they, maybe two. Marcelo, hello.
Yeah. Ooh, there's more. What it do, baby boo?
What it do?
What it do, nephew?
What's going on?
I'm just wondering, why is it legal for the cyclists to think they're they interfere with traffic, they're in the turning lanes. I saw a guy with a 7-year-old kid in a turning lane. Why is it legal for them to ride in the street and we can't ride on the bike lane in a car?
I can't answer that, and it's driven me crazy for a long time. Even when there's room for them to get over, it's technically legal, so they're in your lane. And then you have to slow way down, and then you have to go around them. It's really annoying.
I saw an old man in one of those little electric carts holding up traffic completely in the turning lane with his left arm hanging out.
Yep.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Wasted the whole light in the middle of L.A., you know?
I know that it's legal.
It Psycho should. Mike rides like that, too?
Probably, yeah.
Yeah, that's great.
I don't own a bike.
Oh. He walks in the slow lane.
Like, those guys take their lives into their own hands every day. I do not envy them.
I guess it's just that when there is room for them to kind of get out of the way, they don't.
Yeah.
And that's kind of insulting. I mean, it's not insulting, but it's, it's inconsiderate.
Okay.
Because you could go a lot faster as a car.
I bet some of them get out of the way.
Most do. I think most do.
I would imagine that's
true. I don't run into them too much.
I run into them a lot.
Do you?
Yes.
And there's a new phenomenon here, especially in Los Angeles, about these fixie crews, which are crews of guys on fixed gear bicycles. It's new, like the new hip thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
And that's got to go. It's driving me nuts. It's 40 guys rolling 40 deep on these bikes that are now hip to have, and they go in one lane. And their max speed is 20 miles an hour. And it destroys your day.
Yep. But it destroys your whole day?
We really are.
That is rough.
All right. No one's exaggerating
here.
It is. Thank you, Rodney. All right. Let's tell you about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Okay.
We are going to talk to Rob Dyrdek about Fantasy Factory. New season coming. Love that show. Really, really good show on MTV.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll talk to him about what this season has in store for us. We have Adam Sessler from G4. He hosts a show called X Play, and it's all about video games. And there are three new video games coming out today, so we're going to talk to him about that.
Great.
We have another rousing rendition of Would You Like to Take That Back on today's show. They seem to be coming faster and furious, sir.
Put that in the file. Put it in the file.
I know. I just love that.
Don't you think that that's the case, though?
Yeah, they seem to have more.
Yeah. The most orgasms for women in a day?
Yeah, can you beat Heidi Montag? That's the question.
Well, no, because she's lying.
What? But how? No, 30, 40, come on, in a day?
But all we want to know is how much is she lying?
Yeah.
To us, it seems ridiculous, but who knows?
All right.
Miss Cleo's celebrating Ramadan. We got to get to the bottom of that. It means she can't eat from sunrise to sunset.
Yeah.
For a month.
That's tough.
A month?
And how to tell a story, the Kevin and Bean Master Class. We've had it. We've had it. People don't know how to tell stories. And they spend all their time on the insignificant parts. They never get to the good parts.
Yeah.
So we are going to teach you how to tell a story today.
Okay, good.
On the Kevin and Bean Show. It's really rather easy.
I don't think it's easy. Sometimes when I know there's something I want to talk about when I'm coming in, I actually really think about it because I do know how you guys do it.
Well, we have
you make
very
it look
little
easy,
patience.
But it's not that easy.
Yeah. Well, it is. Well, all right. Well, we'll discuss.
Well, it's not that easy to do it entertainingly.
Oh, okay. Well,
you can tell a short story.
Sure. What? But you can tell a short story that's boring, or you can tell a long story that's boring.
True.
We would prefer short.
Good point.
So we'll get to that. And it's Sean Connery's birthday.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Woo.
So you know what that means.
Yeah.
Good times.
Bad news for Linda,
bad
I'll tell you
for
that.
Me.
We will take a quick break and come back with Ralph. Showbiz Beat next.
It is Tuesday already. Ralph is here with our first look at the Showbiz Beat for a new program. What's going on, Argar?
How's your throat feeling there, Bean? You all right? Bean was saying earlier, it's got a sore throat.
Yeah.
What happened, Bean?
I have a very sore throat,
yeah.
And I don't think I'm getting sick, because I rarely get sick, but I think it was from entertaining the chief for the last 4 days. My dad's been in town, and you know...
Oh.
No, we didn't go. We did not go visit the SEALs at all.
Oh, okay.
But, you know, you got visitors in, and you take them around, you give them a tour, you talk all the time, they're always asking questions, you're always trying to entertain them, there's very little just sitting around in a room reading the paper together, so
you
I
mean
think I...
mean simple human contact?
Yes, it has killed me.
So when you're not used to it.
What are you, a monk the rest of the day? You talk all morning.
I don't, because I don't see very many people. I mean, I'm done at 10, and then after that, I don't talk all that much. I don't see that many people. It's been a lot of alone time.
But how, strained his voice just talking to people.
How taxing can it be to just have your dad and just
it's normal? It's hours and hours a day, though.
Right.
I mean, it's talking all day until bedtime, you know?
Right.
Lisa, you're with me on this. It can totally wear you out.
Well,
you
know definitely you know having guests over can be wearing.
But not on your throat.
Unless it's on your guest.
Yeah,
you know,
true.
What you're doing.
Haven't you gone to a party, a five-hour party, and gotten home and just been exhausted from talking to all those people all night long?
Yeah, but that's when I'm screaming over loud music or you know, or a din of people talking. I have to strain my voice to be heard, but not just in simple conversation.
Not just you and one other person in a car.
Well, you take your dad to a ball game every day, and you're screaming for your Mariners.
Maybe Bean's like a tour guide
yeah.
all day long.
Over here, I've got the llamas. The llamas eat a lot of grass and kelp. Let me tell you about kelp.
That's exactly what's going on.
He needs a bullhorn is what he needs.
I'm the new Billy Mays.
We could see how you would be tired, but we don't understand the throat thing unless you were yelling.
I wasn't yelling. It was just too much talking. I guess I'm just not used to it. I guess it's like so many other muscles in my body. It's just not used very often.
Wow. Throat is out of practice.
I think we need to check for senior abuse because I think he's yelling at his dad.
Not yelling at
him. Shut up, old man.
Sit down.
Stay
don't
in the
speak.
Barn. You're lucky to be here.
Well, I put him on the boat to Canada yesterday, so I get a few days reprieve before he gets back Thursday.
No? Yes, it is. Okay. We're never
is that like
see
Puppy
Chief
Lake?
Again.
Oh, yeah. Poor dad. He's
it's
on
really
a boat to Canada.
It actually means it. In a suitcase in a dumpster way to park, but we call it on a boat to Canada.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's relieve Bean of any more chitter chat.
Okay,
get on
quiet,
with the showbiz news. The Los Angeles County Coroner's Office, according to a source inside, has ruled Michael Jackson's death officially a homicide.
Bum, bum, bum.
Now, here's the thing. It's not official because they haven't released those findings publicly. However, several sources are saying this is indeed the case, and it will be announced publicly soon.
Oh, so these are people who found out behind the scenes, but they haven't made this announcement yet.
Yeah.
But it wouldn't be a surprise to anyone.
No, not at all. The official inside the coroner's office says that Michael received a fatal combination of drugs on June the 25th, and that means that Dr. Conrad Murray, Jackson's personal physician, is most likely going to be arrested for this charge.
Wow.
But since he administered the final injection.
And should be.
Yeah.
Conrad, by the way, says that he actually pulled back on his usual dosage of propofol, the deadly sedative that he gave him, because he was concerned for Michael's life. So he only gave him half the usual dosage.
Of the drug he should never have given him to begin
exactly,
with?
Exactly, yeah. However, he did give them a fine cocktail of tranquilizers and sleep aids prior to that injection.
Is that right?
It may have been a combination that may not have been healthy.
Ralph, didn't he say something like he gave him a bunch of different things and Michael
wouldn't
go
fall
to
asleep.
Sleep?
Yes, he was begging him for the propofol, begging him. So finally, he gave them a reduced dosage injection, and Michael finally went to sleep Or, as I like to call it, died.
I wonder, maybe we should talk to Dr. Drew. He's been everywhere on this story. He was on Larry King last night and Anderson Cooper, too. But I wonder if we should talk to him about what makes someone not be able to fall asleep, even when they're all hooched up on that many drugs. It's like, what's going on in the body where you can't sleep like that?
Too much hooching. It was amazing how many things he gave him to try to get him to go to sleep, and he wouldn't.
Yeah. Well, he's got the constitution of a bull, that Michael Jackson. Just look at him.
Yeah. Oh.
What a bear of a man.
Good point.
He's
powerful.
He's like trying to take down a rhino. The sheer size of the man. Rumor Willis is legal. She celebrated her 21st birthday at the Venetian Hotel in Las Vegas with her parents over the weekend. Apparently, Bruce Willis was there. Demi Moore, of course, stepdad. Ashton Kutcher, all her brothers and sisters, her stepmother, Emma Heming. You know what? This family's entirely too close.
Yeah.
When you're 21 years old, you're partying in Vegas. Do you want your mom and your dad and your stepmom and your stepdad and your brothers and sisters, everybody just hanging all over you while you're partying?
I'm going to go with none of.
That's creepy.
The above.
Creepy. Rumor, hate your parents like everyone else does. You're wigging us out.
It's the way life works.
And Britney Spears continues her quest for the Mother of the Year award. I don't know if you've seen the photos recently of her two kids, Jaden and Preston, but apparently mom has shaved their heads.
Oh, great.
Yeah, they are sporting the same look that Britney had a couple years ago when she was wielding an umbrella. If you remember those photos, when she was attacking an SUV with an umbrella.
Yes.
So now that they're not letting her do this to herself.
She has shaved the heads of her youngins.
All right.
They look just, orphaned is what they look.
Why, Britney, why?
It's Tuesday. That means new DVDs and CDs are in stores today. Here's a few you might be interested in picking up. Collective Soul by Collective Soul, new CD.
They're still alive.
Believe it or not.
They're still making good records, too.
Humbug by Arctic Monkeys. Pick up their new CD. Light by Modest Yahoo. Finally, some new Modest Yahoo music. Maybe we can stop playing that song we play all the time.
Are any of you on his email mailing list?
What?
No, are you?
Modest Yahoo?
I think someone did that to be funny to me.
They put you on the Modest Yahoo mailing list?
Oh, I'm on hundreds of lists, NASA, a whole bunch of stuff. People just screw with me.
Shalom, I've got a new CD.
No, but he emails a lot, and I can't get off it no matter what I'm trying to do.
Well,
it's not possible.
He's got God on his side.
I am on his list for life.
He's got McAfee security. He's got God on his side.
I don't really need Modest Yahoo updates every day.
Well, then you probably knew he's got a new CD coming.
But I get him. I'm not to read him.
Shaka Rock by Jet. New CD. By all accounts, this is just a great CD. I haven't heard the whole thing yet, but I liked what I heard so far. The Jennifer's Body soundtrack.
Ooh.
This is the movie featuring our beloved Megan Fox. And to make it more Dave-centric, it's got a song on there by Hayley Williams of Paramore.
Oh, look at that.
A song called Teenagers, and Dave's very excited about that. So there's some new CDs you can check out. I'm out of time, so in another hour I'll tell you the new DVDs that are out in stores today.
Okay.
That'll keep you hanging on. That DVD list. That's how I keep the listeners.
No other way to get
anywhere
that.
Else. I can't find that anywhere but here. Today's celebrity birthday is big, big, big list today. Blake Lively from Gossip Girl is 22 years old today. She is lovely. Rachel Bilson from The O.C. celebrates her 28th birthday. Claudia Schiffer, legendary German supermodel, is 39 years old today. Just a bunch of hotties today. Rachel Ray, TV chef Rachel Ray, is 41 years old. Billy Ray Cyrus, best known now for his seed, Miley Cyrus, is 48 years old today. Director Tim Burton turns 51. Elvis Costello, one of my favorite all-time rock and roll stars. He is 55 years old. Rob Halford of Judas Priest is 58. Regis Philbin, 78 today. Monty Hall, game show legend. Monty Hall is 88
Montreal?
Years old. No, not Montreal. Monty Hall.
He's 88. No, not Montreal. This is Monty Hall.
He's 88 years old today. Sean Connery, the original Bond, is 79.
That's what I'm talking about.
And bassist Gene Simmons of Kiss celebrates his 60th birthday today. I'm sure he's going to blow out a bunch of candles on his cake today. Aren't you, Gene? Don't you think you'll be blowing out some your candles?
Well, Shannon baked me a cake this morning, but there's no cream on it. Lisa May, I think I might need your help in creating some cream.
There's no cream on it. Who puts cream on a cake, by the way? Isn't it called icing?
I should have said frosting.
Yeah,
I should have said
frosting or icing.
Anything else besides cream.
No, cream is good.
No, who puts cream
Gene Simmons
on their
failed.
Cake?
Gene Simmons failed. I apologize.
Hell, you're getting
Check
old.
In next hour.
You're losing a step. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
On the way, we got the Killers for you, Oscar Amberlin and Bush on the Kevin Bean Show. By the way, That name has been cracking me up for 15 years since that album came out. Hey, Miss Cleo, who answers the phones here on the Kevin and Bean Show, she's the delightful, perky, happy-sounding voice that you speak with when you call into the show. She has joined us in studio because it's a very special time for her. She is our token Muslim here at the Kevin and Bean Show. And I understand we're getting into an important part of year for you.
We are. Ramadan started on Saturday.
Explain to us what Ramadan is.
Ramadan is a holy month in the religion of Islam. And basically, you fast from sunrise to sunset. So from between the hours of like sunrise to sunset, you don't eat any food or drink any water.
Open up those cupcakes right,
Dave,
next door. Yeah.
What an ass.
There you
what
go.
Jay,
oh, those are good.
God.
That does look delicious.
No,
I got to tell you,
this is her particular weakness. She goes crazy for these.
I do have to.
Now, every religion has, it seems like it has something that you do with food, either foods you don't eat or foods you eat, can't eat on a certain day or times you're not able to eat. What are we learning in Islam from the Ramadan? What is it supposed to symbolize or what is it supposed to mean to you?
It's supposed to be a month where you take time to reflect and be thankful for what you have. And it's also a month where you try and be the best person you can be. So you give back to the poor. You're basically just amplifying what it means to be a good person.
But how effective is it to fast if then at night you can eat as much as you want?
Well, I mean, you have to eat eventually.
Right. Yeah, for a month. You can't fast for a month.
It's supposed to be a month. It's supposed to be a constant reminder.
Right.
That there are a lot of people out there that have a lot less than you do.
Right.
Every time
but
your stomach growls, you're like, yeah, I guess it could be. Hey now
don't
they're throwing cupcakes.
Don't hit the cupcake out of his hand. That's not nice.
So you'll develop empathy for the homeless and the poor and those who don't have enough to eat a little bit every day.
Exactly, and just to remind you that you do have things in life. And
King of Mexico is putting the
under her nose
cupcake right around her face.
Are you hungry, by the way? Because it seems to me you were probably eating an hour ago while the sun was still down.
I did. I ate before
so this is not really that effective at all, Dave.
Cupcakes aren't doing much.
Now,
she's hour,
full.
Though.
Here's our question, because we've been talking about this in the office. You are not what we would consider a hardcore Muslim.
No, not by any means.
How often do you go to church? What do you call it?
A mosque.
Mosque. How often do you do it?
Just during Ramadan.
Okay.
But that's kind of like Catholics. It's Catholics who go to Christmas Eve Mass, and that's it.
Right.
Yeah,
you know?
and give things up for Lent, even though they don't do much
all right,
else.
But here's the thing. If you're going to pick and choose, you're not going to do everything that the religion says. You're just going to do the things that you want to do, and then you're not going to do things you don't want to do.
Correct.
Why would you pick Ramadan, which is fasting for a month?
Dave is now eating the cupcake.
Why would you pick that to follow? Why wouldn't you pick some of the easier stuff?
To be honest, I enjoy the challenge. For me, it's a personal challenge, and I really try to put myself in that mindset. Okay, you've got 1 month out of the year where you can really try to be a better person.
Right. But what about the other 11 months?
Because you're famously, you kick homeless people the other 11 months of the year.
It's true. I do. No, it's just...
Muhammad not put any stress on 11 months?
He did. Obviously, you know, I won't go into the religion, but you're supposed to be a good person. But it's 1 month where you really, really focus on trying to be better.
Okay.
I don't think that's bad. And
can you focus on trying to be better when you're not eating? That's my question, because it seems like the only thing I think when I'm not eating is, boy, I need to eat.
It becomes really easy, to be honest. It's something that you don't even think about, unless people are shoving cupcakes in their mouths right in front of you.
Well, you know.
Apparently Dave focuses on eating when Cleo's focusing on not eating.
Let me see if I can find some help in the Family Guy.
Okay.
Because perhaps the Family Guy can help us understand Ramadan.
That's right.
This is a message to all American infidels. Prepare to die in a sea of holy fire. You will be punished for your decadent ways on the first day of Ramadan. Wait a minute. Did I just say... What did I say? Ramadan? Ramadan. Ramadan. What is that? What is Ramadan? Yeah, maybe Dennis Ramadan is going to punish you with his crazy hair. No? What's that? Right. Yeah, no. Okay. All right, okay, let's go again. Okay. This is a message to all Americans. I'm not going to be able to do it now.
2 days of that.
Stop making that face over there. What are you doing? I He makes that face and it makes me laugh. Okay, all right, okay, all right. Here we go. This is going to get all serious now, okay. Death to... I can't do it.
All right, so that's Osama bin Laden.
Ms. Cleo, yes. I seem to remember from last year's Ramadan that there was also something about you were or were not allowed to have sex at certain times of the day or night during Ramadan. Is that true? Do I have that wrong? Was there anything to do with the sex during the Ramadan, or is it all just food?
I don't think you're...
You're not supposed to have sex before marriage, period, though, right?
Correct. But I don't...
Like most religions.
Right, but here's our point. If you're going to follow a religion piecemeal, if you're just going to go, I like this, I don't like that. Yeah. I like this, I'm not going
to
follow that.
You should do that within your religion, by the way. You should never follow in your religion to the fullest.
Okay, fine.
But most people do.
Really?
No, most people don't.
Most people don't. Yeah, most people don't.
Right.
They piecemeal it.
But if you're picking the stuff that you want to do, you don't pick Ramadan, which is a month of not eating. You right. pick something else.
You pick the 20 minutes that you go to the mosque on Friday afternoon and bow to Mecca, and you go, well, that's it. I'm done. I'm a good Muslim now.
It's really highly praised in Islam. It's one of it's the holy month and it's one of the five pillars. It's just one of those things that's really important in the religion.
But you spit on the other four pillars. So my point is
maybe not. Maybe.
Well, I'm just saying you don't do it all. So why do this Ramadan thing? You think you get something out of it, or you do it for your parents?
Probably a little bit of both. I think if I was out of the house, I would still do it. Just because, A, I've done it now for...
Miss Cleo still lives at home is what that meant.
Yes.
All right.
I do. Pay me more money.
So anyway. you think if you moved out from underneath your family's roof, you would still do Ramadan?
Yeah. It's 1 month where I can really focus on trying to be better. And I don't think that's too bad.
And it's been ingrained. I would imagine if she didn't now, she would feel so guilty.
But what about all the
wrath of God? I'm dealing with Allah. Come on now.
What about all the other things, though, that have been ingrained? I mean, that's...
Because that stuff hasn't been that ingrained.
The rest of it, I hate to say it, but I don't really follow.
So you don't follow anything but Ramadan?
I don't want to say that.
That's the one thing you choose is that month.
It's really bugs Kevin.
Well, no, I'm just saying... She doesn't follow anything else.
But there's a lot of people who do Lent nothing
exactly.
else.
Exactly. No, why don't you talk to any of the Catholics in the same way?
But we do. That's the thing. Is that no one's trying to point fingers at you simply because you're Muslim. It's equally as dumb. My Catholic friends that give up something for Lent and then they drink and smoke weed all day.
Right.
I mean, in the 12 months out of the year. I totally agree. We're not trying to point fingers at your religion. It's just dumb, period.
Okay.
Wow. I don't sign off on anything that doesn't allow me to eat all the time, always, whenever I want, period. That's how I roll.
So admire you, Miss Cleo.
Thanks, Lisa.
We're going to have food every day.
Sounds good.
Your favorites, most of the
Dave
time.
Dave is going to get really fat because he's going to end up eating all this food. He's already had like four cupcakes.
I'm going to lose weight and Dave's going to gain it with the stuff that I can't eat.
Mm. All right, so for the next month, when you call this radio station, expect it to be a little...
If I'm cranky.
A little brief, a little cranky.
Sorry.
Yeah.
What? I haven't eaten.
She picks up the phone. What?
What do you want?
It's Ramadan. What?
Sorry.
So that's what you have to look forward to. Maybe we can get some help from South Park.
Welcome to Muslim Sensitivity Training.
Let's all look at why Muslims are upset. First of all, in the Muslim religion, you're not allowed to have what? Sex. Good. Now, this would be fine, except that in the Muslim religion, you also can't. Anybody? Off.
Right.
And what do we know about the places Muslims live? They live in?
The sand.
Good. Sand. Now put yourself in the shoes of a Muslim. It's Friday night, but you can't have sex and you can't off. There's sand in your eyes and probably in the crack of your ass. And then some cartoon comes along from a country where people are getting laid and mocks your prophet. Well, you know what? I'd be pretty pissed off too.
I guess that makes sense.
Yep. And you can't drink.
Okay.
Add that on top of everything.
But sex and drinking, you're good with. Is that right?
She's not saying on the air.
Is that right? Let me ask it a different way. Do you spend a lot of energy trying to follow those two things?
No.
Not a lot. But Ramadan, you're all over.
Yes.
Okay. You're a bad Muslim.
Thanks.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show, and I know that we take and take and take on this program, but this morning we're going to give a little something back. We have a master class for you. It's a skill that will help you not only as a listener and a caller to this program, but will help you for the entire rest of your life. We're going to teach you how not to tell a story. That's coming up in about 15 minutes or so here on the Kevin and Bean Show. First, though, time for the Afro line, 323-520-AFRO. That's our answering machine we have set up for your calls anytime.
You can text to landline. So you text it, and then there's an operator that reads exactly what you texted on the phone.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what this first one is.
I sent you a text to landline message. F you. F you. F you. You're cool. F you. I'm out.
That's great.
That's an excellent use of technology.
That is the that's the quitting scene from
Happy.
Half-baked.
Thank you, Mike. Yeah. Never would have come up with that.
We were asking about the lead singer of Save Ferris, because it was her birthday.
Monique Powell, yes.
Recently.
Hey, Bean, I can tell you what Monique Powell's been doing since Save Ferris broke up. She's been eating, because she's back.
Wow.
Oh, I hate to hear that, because I think she's quite lovely.
So, listening to news, and it turns out that the CIA is no longer in charge of terrorists. Interrogation. You know who it is? The FBI! The FBI!
This is the shortest song in the history of songs?
My girlfriend's being a bitch!
And I bet he sings it often.
Here's a parody of The Killers.
Are we zombies or are we strippers? I've got a flat line. My is cold. I'm on my knees looking for my nipples. So are we zombies or are we strippers?
Okay.
Reference to the hit movie Zombie Strippers from a couple of years ago, I guess.
We've been giving Brett Favre a hard time about his quitting and coming back and quitting and coming back and quitting and coming back. Apparently he does have his fans.
You guys leave Brett Favre alone. He's a human.
Hey, he is going to be the first active NFL player to die of old age.
That's true.
It never happens, but he's got to be getting close, right?
During a game. Yeah.
Maybe.
We brought you some audio from a documentary on ferret owners.
Mm-hmm.
And how crazy they are, and that's what this calls about.
Hey, were you guys talking about ferret owners or ferret boners? Because I heard they're supposed to be playing the Acoustic Christmas.
Yeah.
Can't wait.
They're very good.
Let's see here. Saddy. This guy wants a Saddy update. Saddy, who calls us and says, oh, my life is miserable.
Hey, how's that Antonio doing? I got to give that guy mad props. Never in the history of the Kevin and Bean Show has someone started working an angle so early for Acoustic Christmas tickets. Go, Antonio. Ooh,
wow, I didn't even see that coming.
Wouldn't that be awesome if he was playing us from the beginning?
Yep.
If Saddy is listening, he's a Kevin and Bean Lister who had his car, you know, broken into a couple times. He was getting ready to lose his job, and he had a terrible living situation. He didn't have a girl. It just went on and on and on. We named him Saddy. I'd love an update from you, Antonio. If you've still got internet service and access to email, we'd love you to get back in touch and let us know how it's going, dude.
Email Bean only, because the rest of us think that you're making it all up. So, sorry about that.
Please stop playing the song Fireflies. Hate it. I want to take forks and stab them in my eyes and gouge out my goddamn eyes. I hate that song. Please stop playing it.
What good does poking your eyes out do when you hear a song? Why don't you
That's
go
an
for
excellent
the,
point.
Why don't you take that fork and put it in your ear?
Never
then you don't
that.
Have to listen to the song. This way, you're out two eyes and you can still hear it.
Good point.
You're just blind, and you're going to be listening to the radio more than ever before because of all the stuff you can't do, and it'll be constant fireflies. By the way, most songs come along, some people like, some people don't like, and most people are about in the middle. They go, well, it's okay. Every once in a while, something comes along like Fireflies by Owl City that's just so polarizing, and there are some people who love that song, just crazy over it. And then there's the 99% of us that hate it.
And want to jab our eyes out. So,
right, and our eyes. Right.
Good luck with it. We have the attention span of gnats, and I understand that. Unfortunately, we are so impatient, we have to have somebody get to the point right away, or it drives us out of our mind.
Yeah.
And so we're going to give you some tips on how to tell a story. Now, for, you know, in our world, it's a little more extreme than just out and about when you're
but
with your friends.
That's because people are listening.
Right.
And if people are calling in and not getting to the point, people tune out.
Yeah.
It's really, it gets boring really fast. Yeah, we all do.
So we were talking about hitchhiking. Here's one example. We were talking about hitchhiking. Here's a girl, and she and some of her friends got picked up by hitchhikers. And I'm going to show you the parts of the story that could perhaps have been left out.
Hi. Actually, I was hitchhiking.
Yes.
Oh, and,
so you're the hitchhiker. Okay.
So you're the hot young hitchhiker by the side of the road.
Actually, it was me and three of my girlfriends. And we were in
Bonus.
Havasu.
Boing. You were in Havasu, yes.
Yeah.
We were in Havasu. So we figured there's three of us, no problem if we get in a car with one guy, you know, what's going
to
happen?
Right. You could beat him up if you needed to.
Exactly.
Okay. Okay. So set up, done.
Okay.
Now, punchline. Get to the part of the story that's interesting.
So we get in the car, this guy picks us up, and we start driving, and we're like, oh, thanks so much for picking us up.
Okay, now we've gone right off the rails.
At this point,
we don't need to know that he pulled over and picked you up, and then you sat down, and then you said, hey, how's it going?
He had a nice car. The interior was leather.
None of this is relevant.
Although there was a tear in one seat.
I got in the back seat with my friend Michelle. Michelle and I went to college, and we were roommates for a while. We went to college, so we got in the back seat, and then our friend Debbie, she got in the front seat. I mean, it just goes on and on and on. At this point, we already all understand the concept of hitchhiking, and that they got in the car with the guy. We don't need just get to the part where you thought, hey, I need to call and tell these guys this.
Right.
We start driving, and we're like, oh, thanks so much for picking us up. It was just really hot out, and we were far from our campsite. So
all right, so now we've got hot out, far from the campsite.
We've been camping since college.
This story has completely stalled.
We've got the weather update and a GPS ranking, so we're good there.
To tell a story, you do a quick setup and then punchline. So she says, me and three of my friends are out on the street. We get picked up by this dude, and you'll never believe what happened. That's it.
Yeah.
And then go into what happened.
We're like, oh, how is your day going? And he's like, not so good. I've been, you know,
all right,
not
we don't need
doing
any,
well.
We don't need any of this, Lucy. Just get to the part.
So, He has this shirt on his lap, and he takes it off, and he's completely naked.
Okay, so now she gets to the point.
Finally.
Now she gets to the point where the guy is doing things that to himself, and they freaked out.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, none of our audience heard it, because they were long gone before we got to that point.
And then it was hot, you know, and we were lucky to have a ride. He had air conditioning, so it kind of brought the temperature down a little bit. But listen.
But we did want to get in, but we were so far from our campsite, and we needed a ride, and we had been walking a long time. We were tired. We hadn't had lunch yet.
Please just pare it down. Even in your personal life, you don't need...
It's true. This is a good lesson in general.
Non-relevant detail, where it just has no bearing on the story whatsoever, is just a killer. It just kills. It's a silent killer. It isn't. It's a loud killer. All right. So now we're talking about hitchhikers again, and this dude, Adam, needs to fill us in on what just happened in his life in the last 5 minutes before he gets to the story.
Shall we end on a happy note?
Yes,
please. Adam in on line four. I think this is going to make everyone feel good about the whole conversation.
Bring it home, Adam. All right. So we just want Adam just to really put the point on the story.
Yeah.
We can see on the screen that he picked up two girls and says he had a threesome.
Oh, okay.
Okay. How hard is it to get to that part of the story? This one time I picked up girls by a college or wherever, and they took me to their home, and we ended up having a threesome. You can tell that story in 10 seconds.
Yeah, it's a one-sentence story, right.
How's it going?
Good. Tell Bean what he's missing out on.
All right. Just got in my car, turned it on, and I heard you guys talking about this. I'm like laughing. I'm like, I got a story for them. And I called, and I got through.
All right. So, tell us the story.
All right. Now we're up to date on how you got to us.
So... he has a story about it that involves a threesome. He's going, so I got my car, and you guys were on, and then I heard it, and then I laughed, and then I thought, oh, that's crazy. And then I blah, 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 then I called and got through. That's all assumed. We assumed that you were listening. We assumed that you called. We assumed you got through.
I can't think of any other way that this conversation would have come to be unless all of those things happened.
Sure don't need to go into any of that detail.
So, I'm driving home from Knott's Beer Farm 8 years ago when I used to work there. I was driving home.
All right, we don't
home.
Need any of this. Get right to the part that's relevant.
Yeah, we didn't have any time for him because he then said like two other things about, so... I'm driving home.
But the story, the threesome doesn't mean anything, Kevin, unless you know it was 8 years ago and he was working at Knott's Berry Farm at the time. Those are the important relevant details.
Just all meaningless details. It just doesn't make any difference to your story.
Get to the vagina. If you've got that story, right. Then don't bury the lead.
Quick setup. Talking about hitchhiking, I picked up two girls, and you'll never believe what happened. They took me home, and I couldn't believe it either. We had a threesome, blah, blah, blah. You're out in 15 seconds. Yep. You don't have to do all the setup. And you don't have to tell us three times that you were driving home. We assume that. All right, so that all leads us up to Buck.
Okay.
Now, Buck is a caller who called on What It Do, and he wanted to talk about the end of the world, but he wouldn't say the end of the world. He was just hinting at it.
Mm-hmm.
Here's Buck.
Hi, Buck. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
What It Do, nephew?
What It Do.
What It Do.
What It Do. I want to talk about 2012. What do you guys think?
Okay, so that's a good lead. That's a good lead out.
The year
2012. What do you guys think? Now, we don't know that he's heading for the end of the world. I guess we assume that as we go along in the conversation, but he won't say it.
Well, can you expand on that?
Well, December 21st, 2012, we're supposed to be at the end of the Mayan calendar.
I think that's likely. I think, seriously, you should just start spending at this point.
Okay, so Bean assumes he's talking about the end of the world, so mm-hmm. he makes a joke about just start spending money because you're not ever going to have to pay it because the end of the world.
Right, because he at least gave us enough hints that we knew what his topic was. The December 12th, that's the tip-off that he's talking about end of the world. Before that point, he could have been talking about the next presidential election, right. 2012, and we don't know where he's going with this.
Pretty much.
Are we talking about end of the world stuff?
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so we have to clarify with him. You are calling us about the end of the world because he wouldn't say,
and then,
hey, guys, do you think the end of the world is going to happen in 2012?
He's like, well, yeah.
Yeah. And then he goes on.
That's what we're looking at. I mean, sure. It's supposed to be the end of a cycle. It doesn't right. necessarily mean the end of the world, but it's supposed to be the end of a change. Like, something big is supposed to happen.
Okay, so now he's backing off the end of the world, and now it's just going to be something big.
What do we think?
Yeah.
Something drastic. So
okay, but
look, the Mayans couldn't even sustain their civilization, so why are we honoring their calendar like this?
How about the big movie that's coming out, though? I mean,
okay, so Lisa makes a relevant point. Then why are we paying attention to this calendar? He completely ignores that and then
off to the movie.
Goes to how about the big movie, which again we're led to assume is a movie about this end of the world.
How about the big movie that's coming out, though? I mean,
well, which are you referring to, the movie or the actual incident?
There's a big movie coming out.
I know.
Yeah,
there's a lot of big movies coming out. You got to give us some context in your remarks.
You're a bad conversationalist.
Well, you know.
That's
what
true.
Big movie?
It's a big movie. It's a big movie that's coming out. And, you know,
okay, so we've said
let's
three
say
times.
That five times.
What
now.
Big movie? Like, is there a name of it? Is it 2012? I don't know. I honestly don't know the name of it.
I feel
like we're playing charades or something here. Yeah. He's trying to tell us it's a big movie, but now we're asking for some more identifying details so we can tell which big movie. Because remember, at this point, we're kind of guessing that the movie has something to do with the 2012. He hasn't certainly told us that, though.
Yeah.
It's a big deal if you check the internet.
How can we move on now? The big movie coming out is 2012. It's about that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Pretty much, yeah.
All right, you never made that connection right. for the people listening. No okay. one knew you were talking about 2012
big actors,
still.
John Cusack's going to be in it. The girl from Nine Yards.
Okay, so now he's telling us the cast in the movie.
Amanda Peet.
The ones you can remember.
I don't really even care about the actors, but it's a big movie. It's you know.
What do you want us to think about it?
I want to talk
exactly.
to Buck all day.
It's something pretty serious.
I mean, yeah,
we're talking about you know, these claims have been made since time.
They have been made since time.
Yeah,
I mean that's hard to argue.
Yeah,
that guy is unbelievable.
Wow.
I think our advice is stop it.
Stop it.
If you're thinking of calling, don't. I think that's what we're saying.
What? Here's the thing. Whatever event in your story, give us 10 seconds of setup, and then tell us the event. That's it.
There you go.
And by the way, same with your friends, same with people at school. Don't think their eyes aren't glassing over when you're telling them stories at school just as much. They can't take your stories. You've got to get to the point, people. All right?
Good advice.
All right.
Ralph's got the showbiz beat for Tuesday. What's going on, Ralph?
Well, Michael Jackson's death is a homicide, according to the L.A. Coroner's Office. Now, this hasn't been an official announcement yet, but many news sources are saying they have confirmation from an inside source. that said it's more than likely criminal charges will be filed against Dr. Conrad Murray for homicide.
Dude.
The coroner has determined, according to this official, that a fatal combination of drugs was given to Michael just before he passed away on June the 25th, and that the LAPD will bring charges against Dr. Conrad Murray, so we'll have to wait and see. But
murder.
Apparently murder.
I think a lot of other doctors are going to be investigated as well, because Michael's had a string of doctors.
But not all of them killed him.
No.
I think that's the difference.
A lot of them gave him a lot of drugs that they weren't supposed to.
This doctor was the killer doctor.
True.
So, and not only that,
but he also starred in Caddyshack, which I think was great. Oh, that was Bill Murray.
Bill.
This is Conrad Murray.
Wow. Yeah.
Really, yeah. Ralph?
Wow.
I could have gone for Conrad Bain. It could have been worse.
It could have.
Conrad Bain, nice.
Hey, you, not so much from you, guy who comes in the show halfway through. No, you don't get to put on your headphones and start having a conversation with us.
I was hanging
out
with Omar.
Show was already working.
I was hanging out with Omar in the studio.
Yeah.
Did you forget? Because sometimes Kevin forgets stuff. He gets in his car and drives home during the program. Did you forget that we were still on the air?
I did not.
Well, you think we were done somehow?
No, I just wasn't paying attention. Sorry. Back to you.
It's Tuesday. That means new CDs and DVDs are in stores today, and I promised you I would let you know what new DVDs you could pick up, and I'm a man of my word, so here you go.
Okay.
Adventureland. This was the hilarious comedy about kids in the 80s working at a carnival kind of dealy-do.
I wanted to see that. I missed it.
It was supposed to be great. I have not seen it, though.
It looked good, but I don't know anyone that saw it either.
You know, I have a strict no Ryan Reynolds policy, so it's hard for me to catch it. And Kristen Stewart's also in it, and I got a strict no patchouli smell and ugly broad policy.
Aww.
Well, I've got Kevin's starring movie Dark Reel right now for Netflix. So as soon as I'm finished with that, I'll send it back and get me some Adventureland then.
Dark Reel? With Kevin's performance as gay guy who bumps into people at bar?
That wasn't my name.
I sure do. I'm sorry. Your character's
Mr.
name
Humphrey.
Was Mr. Humphrey. Mr. Humpy. Here's a little taste of Kevin in Dark Reel.
No time like the present.
Excuse me.
Excuse me.
I recommend it on Netflix.
Excuse me.
That was my whole part.
Disgusting woman with all your vagina.
That's all there was.
Duplicity with Clive Owen, Paul Giamatti, and Julia Roberts.
Also that was available a good movie.
On DVD today. Fighting with Channing Tatum. He plays a guy who fights. Hmm. And there's fighting that goes on, and they fight in the fighting fight.
Man, I seen that movie, too, and I fell asleep on it.
One of my favorite movies of the year, Sunshine Cleaning, also available on DVD today. If you didn't pick this up, if you didn't catch this rather in the theaters, you can pick it up today. Amy Adams co-stars with Emily Blunt and Steve Zahn. Very entertaining film. TV on DVDs, Californication, the complete second season is available today, as is House Season 5. Lie to Me, the first season, available on a DVD box set today. Are you guys watching The Lie to Me?
I am.
With Tim Roth?
I like that a lot.
Good show.
Yeah.
Life Season 2. Which I think is the last and final season of Life. I missed that show. Guy liked fruit.
He liked fruit a lot.
Sure did. One Tree Hill, the sixth season. Samantha Who, the second season.
Hey!
Scrubs, the eighth season. And Smallville, also the eighth season. Available today on DVDs. Jessica Biel is the most dangerous celebrity on the internet.
What does that mean?
If you search for anything on Jessica Biel on your computer, McAfee.com, the technology company that is security for a lot of computers, says you have a 1 in 5 chance of ending up with some sort of virus if you search for Jessica Biel.
Really?
Turns out the people who spread these heinous viruses figure out who's popular, and that's how they disseminate their evil, is by latching on to stories about popular celebrities.
That makes sense.
So every year McAfee does a search and finds out which celebrities are most connected with spyware and other viruses.
How about that?
This year, it's Jessica Biel. 1 in 5 chance of ending up with something that will damage your computer if you search for Jessica Biel.
I'd like to say, even with that information, worth it.
And that makes so much sense, especially since she had the big nude scene in that Powder Blue movie. You figure there were a lot of people who thought, hey, I want to see that nude scene, and they'll go to a website, and it'll say, click here to see the nude scene, and boom, they've got your computer.
Kevin's the guy who says, I don't care if I get herpes. She's hot. I'm going to sleep with her anyway. That's what Kevin is.
But when you're talking about Jessica Biel, it makes sense.
Thank you.
It's worth it.
As long as it's Dave's computer. Kevin has
That's right. Poor Dave. His computer's crashed more time because of Kevin's search for midget porn than almost anything else you can find.
How dare you.
Brad Pitt was last year's most dangerous celebrity online. Other dangerous celebrities this year, Jessica Biel, as I mentioned, was number one. Then Beyonce was the second most dangerous internet celebrity. Jennifer Aniston was third. Tom Brady, fourth. And Jessica Simpson was fifth. Hmm. So if you're doing any of those searches, you may end up with computer AIDS.
I don't think it's so.
Be careful. No, it's computer AIDS.
It is?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Today's celebrity birthdays. Boy, it's a big list today. Monty Hall. Legendary game show host Monty Hall. Let's Make a Deal fame, Monty Hall.
No, not Montreal. This is Monty Hall.
That's what I said. Monty Hall. 88th birthday today. Sean Connery. 88.
Wow.
Sean Connery, one of our favorites around here, is 79 years old. Talk show host Regis Philbin is 78.
You know what I love? I love Oreo cookies.
Well, who doesn't, Reg? Gene Simmons.
Yeah.
From Kiss is 60 years old. Rob Halford of Judas Priest is 58. Elvis Costello is 55 years old today. You know Elvis Costello's real name, Kevin?
No.
Declan McManus.
Is it really?
How cool is that name?
Awesome.
What's wrong with Declan McManus?
Nothing.
Why do you go to Elvis Costello?
That's a great name.
Declan McManus. Sounds like a private eye.
I think when I look back on favorite guests of the Kevin and Bean Show in the years we've been doing the show, I think having Elvis Costello on was probably one of my top five thrills since we've been doing this program. Remember, Ralph, were you here when he came in?
I was not a member of the Kevin and Bean Show when he was a guest.
Barely I wasn't either, because I don't have any memory of that.
He came in with his keyboard player, Steve Nevy, and they performed live in our studio, and I just love him so much, and it was such a phenomenal performance. I just love meeting that dude. He's great.
Pretty cool. You know, one of my favorite quotes, every time I hear think of Elvis Costello, I think of David Lee Roth from Van Halen. When presented with the fact that music critics preferred Elvis Costello to Van Halen.
Right.
He said, most music critics prefer Elvis Costello to Van Halen because most music critics look like Elvis Costello. I always thought that was a great one. Tim Burton's 51 years old today. Billy Ray Cyrus is 48. Rachel Ray turns 41. Claudia Schiffer is 39. She's still married to David Copperfield? No, they broke up.
No. I don't think so.
After Rape Island.
He's been picking
after
up
Rape
women,
Island.
Yeah.
Yeah, I forgot. Yeah. But they were together for a long time, inexplicably. Rachel Bilson of The O.C. is 28, and Blake Lively from Gossip Girl celebrates her 22nd birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Hey. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and it's 7:09.
Are you choking on a cupcake?
Yes.
After trying to make Miss Cleo eat one?
I was trying to put it in her mouth.
Oh, I thought we were talking about cupcakes
we
here.
We are.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show. It's Tuesday. Rob Dyrdek in minutes here. Right now, though, I'm loath to discuss Heidi Pratt. I really am. I think all of us are on the show. We're at the point where we just feel like we don't ever want to hear about them again. But they keep putting stuff out there that's impossible not to comment on. Yeah. And we're falling right into their trap because we're discussing it, which is what they want. That makes me mad at us. Okay?
You're right.
But they did an interview in Playboy magazine this current month where Heidi got away with being in the magazine and not being naked, which is ridiculous. And they did an interview and they talked about how she said that Spencer gives her, what was the number that in the magazine, 30 to 40 orgasms a day?
Yes.
Yeah. A day, right? So we saw that and we thought one of two things. Either one, she doesn't know what an orgasm is. Or two, she feels like that's such an outrageous thing to say that people will have to talk about it and then she'll continue to remain famous.
I don't think she's that smart.
I don't think she knows what she's talking about.
You don't think she knows what an orgasm is?
Anything just feels good. She goes, that's it.
30 orgasm. 30 to 40 per day, by the way. That's not like...
That's insane.
It's not their best day ever. That's just an average day.
Yeah. Then they never leave the house. If they never left the house, that doesn't happen.
No, it's we used to have an intern named Big Tad, and he was a little bit retarded. And he would try to lie to us, and he would do it so poorly that everyone in the room would go, why are you even trying?
Because it's such an exaggeration.
Right.
Exactly.
You don't even know the world that you're talking about enough to know that this is too much of an exaggeration.
Right.
That's the way I feel with her.
Yeah. If she had said, I have 5 orgasms a day. Even if she had stretched it and said 10 orgasms a day, you could go, okay, well, there's a couple that has lots of time to have sex and apparently are really enjoying it. But once she gets into 30 and 40, you have to go, impossible. I mean, at that point, Lisa, it's not pleasurable, right?
I wouldn't know.
Can't be.
Because that's never happened to me.
But I mean, I wouldn't even believe 5. I wouldn't.
But
I mean,
5 at least we know is possible and does happen to some people sometimes.
But,
certainly not every day.
But she makes it sound like this is the average. I wouldn't believe that.
No, not at all.
Yeah.
I think one a day with them, especially with Spencer as her man,
Would be a miracle.
Would be a miracle yes. one a day.
Yeah. That's what I think.
I don't know how a woman could have an orgasm with Spencer in the room because you'd spend so much time throwing up that how would you be able to enjoy yourself sexually?
Anyway, Tony Potts from Access Hollywood did a satellite interview with Heidi when she was promoting her god-awful appearance on the Miss Universe pageant over the weekend. And he asked her about that Playboy interview. And let's hear what she has to say now that she's had a chance to think about it and heard the reaction to 30 or 40 orgasms in the article.
Back to fiction, Heidi. You have between 30 and 40 orgasms a day. That's like one an hour.
I think it was like 15 to 20, something around there. But yes, I have.
Oh no, 30 to 40. That's crazy. That's ridiculous yeah. talk. It's 15 to 20 15 is how many I really have.
To 20, she says and means it.
Yeah,
I don't think she knows enough to understand that how outrageously ridiculous that exaggeration is.
She's dumb enough not to
yes, know what she's talking about.
I think so.
Well, she goes on to describe how that many orgasms are possible.
And I do every time we're home.
Are you? You're not near one now, are you?
No, I'm not. My husband's not near me right now. No, but I never did before him, and that's one of the reasons I had to marry him right away. He's very talented in every aspect, let's just say. Very well equipped.
Okay, this is the same woman who in the interview later says that Spencer is going to be the next president, or is going to one day be yeah. president of the United States. So yeah. clearly she's just delusional.
You know, it might be, and we're going to take your calls, by the way. We went to girls with your records, because yeah. I don't think even five a day is absurd, isn't it? I mean,
well,
certain
no,
people,
there are multi-orgasmic women. I saw some show on Oprah where there were women who have three and four during right. one session.
Right, but they're the exception, I would imagine.
Absolutely.
They are, but I mean, it's at least believable.
Yeah.
If she says she has five, six, seven orgasms in a day, that's at least believable. I don't know that 15 is even managed. I don't even know you can make 15. And that's what I think one of the reasons why we want to take your calls.
You know what I think this is? The reason why she would lie like this is because everyone hates Spencer so much. I think she wants, like, she's trying to overcompensate and say, wow, you guys don't know this side of him. He's
right.
so loving
this
and amazing.
This is why I'm with him.
Yes, and here's why. And, oh, it's better than anyone else. Mm-hmm. And I think she's just trying to get people to stop hating him so much.
Or at least wonder what the hell she's doing.
I guess.
Lisa, you don't have to answer this, but what do you think is an exceptional number of orgasms to have in a day if you've got great sex with the right partner and the right chemistry and the amount of time you'd need to be able to accomplish it?
Well, I know there are some exceptional women out there, so
right.
I'm going to say eight.
And that's the outer limit.
Yeah,
pretty much.
That would be having sex twice in one day and having
right.
a woman who is multi-orgasmic.
Right.
Yes.
And that's not even a pace you would sustain every day, right?
I can't imagine.
No,
you wouldn't come
no.
back the next day and want to eat orgasms, would you?
I wouldn't think so, no.
I would think you would. But I would.
But then by day four.
Yeah, right. By day three, day four. I mean, there's no possible way what she's saying is true.
Yeah.
Because she makes it sound like that's the average, the norm.
Yeah.
Every day she's having 15 to 20. All right. We want to take your calls from the ladies at 1-800-520-1067. We want to find out how feasible this is. And let's take one before the break because Kristen says, yeah, that's in the ballpark. What?
Hey, Kristen.
Hey. Well, I don't know about 15 to 20 being in the ballpark. I think that's a little ridiculous. But there is one man who definitely just kept it going the whole time, like one major long orgasm, sort of like Lisa was saying, the multi-orgasm thing.
Right. But that was also an exceptional day, right?
No.
It was every day.
Every single time I was with him. But no other man could do this. I don't know, you know, why. Chemistry, I guess. But
okay. So we're talking about numbers here. I mean, how many orgasms could you have in a day if you had the time to play with that guy all day long?
Every single time. And being a guy, you know, if he wanted to go five, six times, it would be easily that many.
Wow, you're an exception.
So have you had 15 in one day?
No. I think you'd be dead.
Yeah, right.
Well,
I mean, honestly, you can get to the point to where you're the muscle there is cramping up. And it's painful.
So give us your top number then.
Oh, gosh. You know, I can't say I ever counted. I would think easily top number seven.
Okay.
That's about the ballpark of what we're talking about for the Outer Limits. Yeah.
But
okay.
At that point, you're curled up into a fetal position in pain.
Right. And you're like, hey, leave me alone now. That's,
you know, muscles.
I'm all good.
Yeah. Muscles can get overworked.
Yeah.
And, you know, if that's a muscle there, so and if seven, it keeps contracting like that, it's like, yeah, no.
So okay. Seven is, this is somebody who does easily have orgasms.
Yeah.
Seven in one day is the outside. That's the most possible.
Oh, yeah.
She's saying 15 to 20 a day.
Yeah, okay.
What do you think of this? What do you think of this Heidi Montag, Kristen, when you see her here?
You know what? hey, she's getting publicity. There you go.
She's a window licker. I really think she's a window licker. I think her IQ is probably 70.
Her and Jessica Simpson can hang out together.
Yeah,
you know?
Yes,
exactly.
They could.
All right, Kristen, you're awesome for calling. Thank you for listening too. Okay, we got to take a quick break. We've got we got other people on the phone here, Kevin, with high numbers.
All right.
Rob Dyrdek talks Fantasy Factory in a few minutes here on the Kevin Amin Show. Right now we're talking about something far more interesting, and that's multi-orgasmic women. How many times can you have an orgasm in one day? Heidi Montag said in an interview that she's having 15 to 20 a day. That seems unlikely to us. But Kevin, some of our Kevin Amin listeners out there are suggesting that it happens to them too. What's up?
Yeah. I would believe it from anyone on the phone and anyone in an insane asylum before I would believe it from them.
Yeah.
I just think they lie, and I think she's trying to make him look good, and it's just pathetic.
Let's talk to you. We got so many great ones. I wish we could go all day because, frankly, this is the best phone topic ever because it involves us talking to chicks about having sex. But let's try Stephanie, please. She is on line 4 on the Kevin and Bean Show, and she'll get us started here. Hi, Stephanie. Thanks for holding on. What's the deal?
Hi, guys. Hi, Lisa.
Hi, Stephanie. You're my hero.
Thank you.
Tell us why you're Lisa's hero.
Well, my highest number is 16.
16 okay. In one day, in
oh
a 24-hour period.
Well, actually, that wasn't in one day. That was just in a one-night session.
One night. Okay. All right. So.
Yeah. But honestly, I think Heidi's lying. I don't think she knows what an orgasm is.
I don't either.
Yeah.
Stephanie, what about the girl that called in earlier and said that at some point it just becomes painful?
Well, I think you have to stretch first.
You have to stretch first? Really?
Well, you know, your legs will cramp up after a while, which is why that took all night to get to.
Right.
But I think if the girl knows what she's doing and the guy knows how to follow instructions well, you probably can get to 30 or 40.
Nope.
I can't imagine. Because I think your body would just go numb at some point.
Yeah, but that's kind of good, don't you think, Lisa?
Well, I don't feel anything when it's numb.
I don't know. I say if I didn't have a life and my husband didn't have a job, we could probably do 30 or 40.
I don't think you know what an orgasm is.
All right. Let me ask you this, Stephanie. If you did 25 today, you wouldn't want 25 tomorrow. You would want a day off, right?
I'd probably want 10 tomorrow, not another 25.
Wow. You're a goer. God bless you. Thank you for calling.
Thank you.
Hey, let's try Lori. She's got a differing opinion on line 3. Hi, Lori. Thanks for holding on. You're on the Kevin and Bean Show. What do you think about that last caller?
Well, I think that her number is a little bit higher for women that are multi-orgasmic. I think for me, there's two types of orgasms. You have the G-spot orgasm.
Right. We don't need any details. Just numbers.
Right. And then you have another one.
Right.
And so I think between those types of orgasms, it's very possible for a woman to reach between 5 and 6 in one session.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So if you were to go maybe 2-3 times a day, I think 15 would be probably a max number for somebody like me.
How about 15 to 20 a day, though?
15 to 20 a day seems like it's stretching it because personally, I think that it gets painful after a while.
Right.
You cramp, like one of your earlier callers said, and it just becomes uncomfortable. I want to turn around the next day and repeat that.
Right, you would say, had a great time yesterday, see you tomorrow.
Hey, Lori, exactly. let me ask you this, though. Let's put it in perspective with who we're talking about. How long would it take you to have one orgasm if Spencer Pratt were the man involved?
I don't think that would even be a possibility.
Yeah, well, that's the other thing. It's not only that it's Heidi and she probably doesn't know what she's talking about. That's her lover.
Right, absolutely.
There's no possible way he listens or tries or any
and
of the above.
And she's saying that she never did before him.
Thank you,
so
Lori.
And most of these women are basically saying, look, I know how to get this going. And if he's good at following directions, we can do this. Well, Heidi wouldn't have any idea what to tell him to do.
Yeah,
right.
And he doesn't know.
Nor would he follow what she says.
Let's squeeze in Allison real quick. She's on line 8. In the interest of time, Allison says she's had 17 in one night, but thinks that Heidi is nuts. How come, Allison? You can do it, she can't.
Well, I don't know. I just think that some women are capable. I think you have to be more emotional to get to that point.
She seems
and
pretty
I don't
emotional.
I think you have to be a little bit more intellectual, too.
Ah, yeah, well, that she's not.
Since when do you have to be intellectual to have an orgasm?
Well,
does that even mean?
You have to be really in tune with your partner, and I don't think Heidi can focus long enough to really care about what the hell Spencer wants.
And Allison, let me ask you, did it take you some time to get to this point in your life?
It did. I'm almost 30, and yeah.
See, that's the other thing that I think Heidi doesn't have is any experience.
Yeah.
Exactly. Well, you have to know what gets you going, just like you were saying.
Thank you for the call, Allison. Heidi, we're going to give you the last word.
Christians don't do that. People, you're supposed to be nice, and I have really bad bug bites.
Okay.
That's true. She does have it.
A- 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is 7:38.
We should have stayed home today.
Yeah.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show. Having nothing but trouble today. Now, what's going on? What's the king telling us about our guest here?
I don't know. Rob Dyrdek is wandering the streets aimlessly and not available.
Oh. Well, that doesn't sound like him, by the way. He's usually pretty organized and on time and everything.
Yeah.
I heard Dave peep up 10 seconds before the end of the song about Rob Dyrdek, who we're planning on speaking to here about the new season of Fantasy Factory. Yeah, what did he say?
Rob Dyrdek's not available.
Did he mean for a minute, or did he mean for this morning? Like, we're not going to talk
to him. No, we'll talk to him on the show, but not any time in the next, say, 20 minutes.
Oh man.
I see. 25 minutes.
You're telling me, hey, screw you, King of Mexico. We had 20 girls on the phone lined up ready to talk about their orgasms. We raced through that so that we could hit Mr. Dyrdek's time, and now you're telling us that we can't talk to Rob? Come on.
All right, I don't have these ready because we were not prepared to do it here, but I do have the audio for Would You Like to Take That Back, which we were going to do in the next hour.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we're going to need Ralph in here because Ralph is certainly one of the people who should be taking stuff back.
All right. Would You Like to Take That Back is a new feature that we started this year on the Kevin and Bean Show. And basically, it's a do-over. Basically, it gives us the opportunity to revisit the tape of something that happened on the program and think, wow, if I had the opportunity to go back and not say that, would I? And I think about half the time, we end up deciding to take it back. The other half, we stand by the remarks, much to the chagrin of others in the room.
This is like our version of the time traveler's wife.
sort of.
We go back in time and correct things.
But don't most of the time.
Well, no.
Is what I'm finding out.
Because then you get a divorce.
Here's the thing. When you're just making stuff up and you're just trying to be funny and trying to be entertaining, sometimes you say things, they come out wrong, or they weren't funny in the first place. You hear them in your head funny, but they don't come out funny.
Speak for yourself, Kemosabe.
I am. So that's why we have...
Would you like to take that back?
All right. So I don't know which examples these are. I haven't heard them yet.
Let's just roll the dice.
There we go. This is the first one.
Kim Kardashian and Reggie Bush may have been reunited, and it feels so good.
Well, that didn't last long.
Apparently.
There you go. Reunited.
And it feels so good.
And it feels so good.
Would you like to take that back?
What could be more en punto than the classic song from Peaches and Herb?
From 1979. What could be less relevant to the group of people who listen to this radio station
reunited
than Peaches and Herb?
And it feels so good.
I insist you take that back.
Would you like to take that back?
I refuse, sir, to take that back.
Whoa. Would you like Peaches and Herb?
There's no other pop culture reference to be made about the word reunited.
Right?
Or
so don't.
Could just let it go?
Oh, Lisa.
Would you like to take that back?
What a drab beige world you must live in.
With could no Ralph, Peaches and Herb references?
That's right. With no sweet reunited feels so good.
Wow. Could Ralph argue, Kevin? I think there may be a case to be made for the fact that that song was so popular
that
expression has entered the language as being something that is said even from people who don't know the
he
song.
Could argue that. He could also say there's no gravity. It doesn't mean it's true.
Would you like to take that back?
I'm standing by my denial.
He's standing by it. All right.
Would you like to take that back?
I said no. Moving on, sir.
Would you like to take that back?
No, I would not.
He doesn't have to take it back. We're asking him if he would like to. He says no. We have to move on to the next example.
I'll wear the scarlet letter of shame, but I won't take it back.
Would you like to take that back?
That's how I roll.
Right.
I think he's already answered your question, Your Honor.
Would you like to?
No.
Would you...
If I take it back, can we move on?
Yes.
All right, I take it
yes!
back.
Yes! Finally!
You beat me into submission.
Now we can move on.
Major roadblock in this movie they're making about the Runaways. This is the all-girl rock band that was Joan Jett's first band.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We may have to get our friend Major Roadblock on the air and find out what he has to say about it.
He served with Major Announcement in the war.
Man, in the war.
Would you like to take that back?
I love Major Announcement, and I love Major Roadblock. Like, I think that they are, should be regulars on the Kevin and Bean show. No, I will not take that back. Thank you, Lisa.
So funny.
Well, then,
so what?
Here's the odd thing. You weren't laughing.
I did.
No.
It was just me groaning.
It was Ralph, like, trying to fake his way through laughing because it was awkward that it was
when
so not funny.
When he added Major Announcement, I giggled.
Wow.
Oh, sweet Jesus.
I'm standing
We're
by
not
going to
play this game if everybody's all proud of their BS.
Well, we got to be honest, though. We can't just take it back because you want to stick it back. I'm proud of it. I would do it again. If Ralph came up with another major roadblock, I would ask questions about whether
room?
We can speak to him or not. Yes, I did.
What was the room's response to that?
The room was lukewarm.
Cool.
Nope.
Not even lukewarm. It was a little chilly.
Right, cool. Yeah. It was a little bit chilly. I'm standing by Major Roadblock, though.
Wow.
This isn't even any fun.
That's compounded, too. Being throughout Major Roadblock and then compounded it with Major Announcement.
Yeah. See, I think that's what made it work.
I do, too.
Injury.
For folks who didn't get that Major Roadblock is just an expression and not a guy in the service that we could talk to,
we don't need explanation.
No, but I think some people didn't get it until I referenced Major Announcement as being someone he served with. I think that's what brought it home, and that's what I'm proudest of.
Would you like to take that back?
Nope. Robert Plant of Led Zeppelin celebrates his 61st birthday today. Let's give a whole lot of love to Robert Plant, shall
nice.
We? Come on!
Would you like to take that back?
Come on!
Would you like to take that back?
No, whole lot of love. Robert Plant, Led Zeppelin, come on!
Yeah, I think we get the tie-in, but...
Well, then, you can't possibly ask me to take it back if you get the tie-in. That wasn't even a reach. That was spot on!
Wow.
One of the biggest Led Zeppelin songs ever.
You guys love some you.
Completely germane to the conversation.
They're in denial.
All right, here we go.
Kenny Baker, little R2-D2 in Star Wars, is 75 years old today. Just think about the state of films where they had to get a midget and put him in a tin can in order to make that robot work. You wouldn't have to do that today.
No.
No.
And how did he talk that way?
Yes,
and, I would.
But not all of them killed him.
All right, so I answered that one already.
You sure did.
Yeah.
You know why? Because I can tell when I say something and people don't laugh. To me, that means it's not a good joke.
That was a preemptive take back.
Would you like to take that back?
And this is from today's show.
But not all of them killed him.
No. But
I'm sure. I think that's the difference.
A lot of them gave him a lot of drugs that they weren't supposed to.
And this doctor was the killer doctor.
True.
So, and not only that, but he also starred in Caddyshack, which I think is great. Oh, that was Bill Murray.
Bill.
This is Conrad Murray.
Wow.
Yeah. Really, yeah. Ralph?
Wow.
Yeah, I'll take that one.
Would you
take that one back?
Yeah, that was
a good decision.
That was totally dependent on someone stepping in and pulling the old Gilligan's Island. No, that was Bill Murray, and there was no one there to do that. So it was just kind of hanging out there, twisting in the breeze.
Oh, I had lost faith in you. Now I'm that getting
was,
my
that,
faith back.
That was ugly.
All right. Yeah.
The loaf.
The loaf.
The loaf.
He's the loaf.
He is.
You know, if he asks you to do something, you say, I will do anything for love,
yeah.
But I won't do that. That's mm-hmm. what you tell him.
God damn it.
Ladies wow. and gentlemen.
Meatloaf! Would you like to take that back?
You're talking about meatloaf there.
Yeah.
The loaf.
Yep.
Well,
would you like to take that back?
What are you? You're asking Ralph to take back? I would do anything for love, but I won't do that.
Yes.
Oh, don't do it.
No. Though. What do you think? I'm taking another part of that conversation.
I thought maybe you were having problems with the loaf. I thought because in the past you've mocked us for
he
calling
like
him the
loaf news. He does not like loaf news.
He's a loaf hater.
He is.
In general, Kevin is not
loaf
a fan of the
loaf
news.
Is not exactly relevant.
Yeah, but he's forever. He's now and forever. He's like Cats, the musical.
His Cats ended.
Look, 100 years.
Cats closed its doors.
Yeah, it did close.
That's so true. Did the loaf.
So not so much forever, I guess.
100 years ago, people will still love Fight Club, which he co-starred in, and 100 years from now, people will still be buying the Bat Out of Hell album. I mean, loaf is forever. I think loaf wins.
Would you like to take that back?
Knowing that Bean would not take that back,
I absolutely would take it back.
All right,
then,
that's what I thought. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q at 4 minutes till 8 o'clock.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show. We do have some clarification now. Apparently, Rob Dyrdek will be available for us in about a half an hour or so on the Kevin and Bean Show. Also, Adam Sessler talks about some of the big video games that are coming out in stores today, too. So we got that straight ahead in the next hour.
Hopefully. Batman. Hopefully we have that coming up in the next hour. If we can hold this place together with paper clips and duct tape.
Batman. There is a Batman video game. Yes, Ralph, you'll be very excited. Right now, time for the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
Well, Michael Jackson's death has been ruled a homicide, at least unofficially. Sources inside the Los Angeles County Coroner's Office say that his death is a homicide, although it hasn't been publicly announced yet. They say that Dr. Conrad Murray, Jackson's personal physician, gave
him... Did he star in Caddyshack?
No, that was Bill Murray. Gave him a fatal combination of drugs before he died in his rented Los Angeles mansion on June the 25th.
So the word murder is being thrown around now?
Yes. Well, wow. I guess homicide is murder, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
But this would be this has to be a manslaughter, I would
imagine.
That's
what I'm guessing, it's manslaughter, yeah. Because I don't think there was any premeditation on the part of the doctor. It was just careless.
There was premeditation.
Derelict in his duties, as they say.
He wouldn't have given it to him.
That's true. He's claiming he gave him a reduced dosage over what he usually gave Michael Jackson in the same situation.
And that helps how?
Not so much.
It just killed him a little bit.
He's only half dead.
It wasn't reduced enough, so yeah. I don't care if he reduced it.
All right, you guys ready to play a little game of Celebrity Rehab Roulette?
Okay.
Put your bets down. Put your bets down, please.
Celebrities, they love to party. How f***ed up can they get? Who's putting down the needle or drying out? It's time for Rehab Roulette.
All right, no more bets. The winner is Melanie Griffith. Anyone who had Melanie Griffith has won Celebrity Rehab Roulette.
What does that pay, Ralph?
36-1.
Wow.
Melanie Griffith has checked herself into rehab, according to People magazine. This is a great story, though, and I'll tell you why. Her representative, a woman named Robin Baum, released the following statement. She is there to reinforce her commitment to stay healthy. Right. Right. It gets better. This is part of a routine plan that was designed between her and her doctors years ago.
Oh, she just checks in every once in a while?
Apparently, yeah. Melanie, in about 3 or 4 years, I'd like you to check into rehab for substance abuse.
But
okay,
what if I don't have to?
No, let's just do it. Part of a routine maintenance plan.
But what if I'm healthy?
Nope, we're going to send you to rehab regardless. You're going in. She is in the Cirque Lodge in Utah. Very popular, very she sort of celebrity rehab facility there in Utah. Lindsay Lohan famously went there.
Sure.
This is the third rehab stint for Melanie Griffith.
But not because she needs it.
No, this is just routine maintenance.
All right.
This is just a plan that was designed between her and her doctors years ago. They planned this.
Like taking your car in to get the oil changed.
In 2005, they said, you know what, around 2010, we were going to send you to rehab just to make sure everything's good. So apparently she doesn't really need it. This is just a plan.
I guess that's best case scenario.
Funny.
Yeah, that's spectacular.
Yeah.
Oh, bad news. Down there in Jupiter, Florida. It looks like city officials in Jupiter, Florida say that they can't open the new Burt Reynolds Museum.
What?
Yeah, I know. Heartbreaking, isn't it?
Why?
There's a new city center they're developing there in Jupiter, and the Burt Reynolds Museum was supposed to move into there.
Mm-hmm.
But they say it doesn't offer enough to the community. Imagine that.
Wow.
Really?
That hurts.
Oh, the bandit car doesn't offer a lot to the community? You telling me that? You tell me his jersey from the longest yard isn't going to offer something to the community?
I have to imagine that's the tourist hotspot of Jupiter, Florida, isn't it? Wouldn't you think that it's the only calling card the town has?
I don't think even that's a calling
Jupiter,
card.
When you say Jupiter, Florida, that's all I think of.
That's the only thing I think of.
I think of his theater.
I don't even know if that's operational anymore, the Burt Reynolds Dinner Theater. I think that may have been closed.
Yeah. Everything having to do with him is dying.
Much like his career. Apparently, they say if he does more for the community, like expands his acting school, then they'll reconsider. Burt Reynolds has an acting school?
Awesome.
Oh, I got to enroll in that. First class, mustache growing 101. And then you move on to advanced laughing in a high-pitched voice. That's a class I'd like to attend.
That's an AP course, so you really got to be in for a while before you can take that.
Ah, Paul Abdul. Guess what the rumors are saying?
They're coming. She's coming back in there.
Insiders at Fox say Paul Abdul may be making a triumphant return to the judges panel on American Idol. An insider at Fox tells an entertainment news website called RadarOnline.com that Fox has put together a focus group to see how much people really like Paula, and if she gets excellent marks, they may make her an offer she can't refuse monetarily to get her back on the panel.
So we haven't seen the last of Paula Abdul, according to insiders.
I wonder what she would take now, if she would still hold out for 10, or if they came back with 7.5, if she'd take it.
I think she would take a bottle of Percocets and a fifth of Cutty Sark. That's what
per
I'm guessing.
Per show.
Tired of people not treating me like the gift that I am. It's hurtful, and it stinks. And it takes everything out of me to smile and be jovial when I'm being screwed.
What did she get?
On what planet do you spend most of your time?
Paula's got tetanus.
She does. I don't know.
I have a gift, and I hate it.
How can you get up in your jaw?
Today's celebrity birthdays. Blake Lively from Gossip Girl is 22 years old today. Bet she can open her jaw. You know what I'm saying?
Oh,
I'm just saying she talks with ease.
That's not what I thought. I must add.
Rachel Bilson from The O.C., she's 28 years old today. Model Claudia Schiffer celebrates her 39th birthday. TV chef Rachel Ray is 41. You just see the party Omar's got planned for later. Oh, someone's on the phone. I'll get it.
Yeah, he's the king of Mexico doing his Chewbacca.
Oh, my bad. I thought someone's rotary phone was ringing.
I didn't know. I know that nobody likes Rachel Ray. I didn't know if she warranted the Chewbacca. Is she? She's not particularly ugly. She's just very plain and annoying.
You know, it's the it's the words that come out of her mouth that beat you up, and you can't see her because of that.
And just so over the top,
just
cheery.
So fake happy.
Yeah,
but she's got Evu.
I don't know
what
that
is. She does have Evu. That's true.
Extra virgin olive oil.
Got Evu. You don't have Evu.
I don't.
She's 41 years old today. Billy Ray Cyrus. Actor? Singer?
No.
He's 48. Tim Burton, legendary movie director, is 51. Elvis Costello celebrates his 55th birthday. Rob Halford of Judas Priest is 58. Gene Simmons of the band Kiss turns 60. Regis Philbin is 78 years old today.
And why does this delight the Negro?
And Sean Connery is 79 years old today. The original Bond. I sure wish we could talk to him.
Sounds great. We should ask him how he's celebrating.
Maybe tomorrow. We'll find out how he celebrated. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Hey, Ralph is in here. It looks like to dampen the party once again. He's in here to throw a wet blanket on our fun, I think.
I'm just here to ask, to beg.
It's time
that you let
for the,
this go.
Time for the Wheel O' Bad Animal Voices. We have a lot of stories, and they keep coming, so we got to keep adding them to the wheel, dude.
We have to get an intro.
We do need an intro. That would be good.
Feels a little dry.
Since we do it. We have a wheel here. We spin it. And if it lands on each story, we will talk to that person involved in that
story.
No,
you won't. What happened is I'll do a bad animal voice
maybe?
Bit, and you guys will ask bad questions, and it'll just fall flat, and it'll disappoint everyone.
Oh, well, that's
our listeners as well as ourselves.
All right, so on the wheel is the Pimpin' Chimps.
But you're going to go through it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
The Russian Subway Dogs. The suicidal New York City turtles.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
The Russian dog girl.
Wow, a lot of Russian dog themes on that wheel.
The attacking Komodo dragon. The gay German penguins. The Argentinian mega colony ants.
Yeah.
Those are the stories.
Those are all bad.
We had to take the zombie ants off the wheel because we talked to them last week, if I recall.
But that's right.
That's the thing, Ralph, is that the stories keep coming fast and furious.
Let's not do any of them. I'm just saying.
Let's do whichever one this lands on.
Spun the wheel.
All righty.
Wheel is spinning.
Okay.
Hey, stick around for this, Ralph.
You'll like it. I can't.
You will like it.
Oh, I guarantee you I won't, and nor will the listeners.
It's the Russian subway dogs.
What
a chance for that.
Subway dogs.
I've been dying to hear this story.
What's that about?
Yeah.
Stray dogs, according to a Russian biology professor, Andrew Poikarkov.
You are practically a native.
He says that stray dogs have learned to use the subway. They get on the subway. They ride into the middle of town. They get off. They eat. They find scraps of food and stuff at restaurants. They get back on the subway and go back home and get off there.
What about the dogs? What about the dogs?
That is impressive.
I'm very impressed.
Also hard to believe. Why would a dog take a subway to find food?
Because the food that they had was taken away. I guess there was some kind of like really low income housing type places, and they had them torn down. And those were that's where the dogs got their food from. So now they don't have food. They have to get on the subway.
Okay, then why? Well, why am I asking you?
Why
questions,
are you asking me? We have Russian biologist Andrew Poyokov.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. До свидания.
Hi. Is this the Russian biology professor?
No, this is Russian dog.
Oh, you're the dog.
Okay. I am Russian dog on the subway.
What are the chances of that?
Excellent, I would think.
100% in fact.
Having known the things you're doing before, I think excellent case for happening.
So according to the story we're reading, the biologist says you don't just go to the subway station. You get on a subway train.
That's right, yes.
You know when to get off the subway train downtown.
Well, of course. Why would I not know which is my exit?
And
because you're a dog.
And then you eat, you get food downtown, and then you get back on the subway and go back home and get off on your stop there.
Yes, and boy, it's a long day. I am so tired when I get home. this commute is something else, isn't it?
Yes, but...
with all these people in the subway, it's ridiculous. The difficulty is for getting around.
Right, but dogs don't normally take the subway, not here.
This is different. Mm-hmm. We are in Russia.
Right.
And we are more advanced than your dogs, apparently.
I didn't realize that.
Certainly smart, I'll tell you that. But what I don't understand is why do you bother getting back on the subway and going home at the end of the day to a place where there's no food and then have to turn around and do it the next day? Why don't you just stay downtown?
Because that's where my home is. Why don't you just go to work and then stay there at work all the time and never go back to your house or your family?
But you're a stray dog. Do you have a home?
Of course I have home.
Well, I don't know.
I may be stray, but, I'm not homeless.
Okay.
I have, wife and puppies to feed.
Oh, you have a family.
Oh, you have a family. I didn't realize you had a family.
I sit on subway, go to work, get food, and then go home again.
I see.
Do you wear a suit and tie and carry a briefcase?
15 across. Rubiat Poet Kayam. That's Omar, okay?
What?
I'm doing crossword. I'm doing crossword like anyone would do on Subway.
You do the crossword puzzles, too?
Let's see. 9 down. Predicaments. Let's see. 8 letters. Problems.
Wow, you're good at it.
Good.
Yeah, I have a problem with the Sudoku, though. That is hard.
You can't do that one, huh?
I can't do that one.
Numbers.
Dogs are not good with math.
If we learn nothing else from today's show, let's take away that, shall we?
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and it's 22 minutes after 8 o'clock.
How about some new music, Bob Marley? Seriously, dude, come on. How lazy can you be?
Not going to be doing
that. All right, Adam Sessler from G4 talking about the new video games in minutes. Right now, hit it, Steve. Our favorite theme song from Fantasy Factory returning to MTV this Thursday night at 9, Season 2. We'll talk to Rob Dyrdek in a moment. The Fantasy Factory, of course, is the best place in the world, and Rob is just King Rob in there, and he joins us back on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Hey, Rob, how are you, man?
What is up?
You sound tired or sick?
Neither, man. I'm so high on coffee, I get subdued.
So, Season 2, dude, were there still some dreams left for you to fulfill? I would have thought you did everything you could imagine last season.
I mean, I really did, and I just feel like midway through this thing, I'm just like, there's no way I could top this season. Like, this entire season has been so ridiculous that it's like the most surreal last few months ever.
Well, I noticed in the preview to the trailer for the season that you're riding elephants, and you're trying to ride a horse in a race. You're trying to be a jockey.
Yeah.
Here are some of the highlights from the upcoming season.
I thought you were investing in a horse.
I told you I'm going to jockey it.
Rob, seriously, you're not a jockey. You're a skateboarder.
It's a done deal.
Oh, God. Here we go.
Local celebrity almost dies.
Hey, Mom. I was wondering how the ladies at the office feel about my news coverage.
Not good.
Return of Blink-182. Return of Bobby Light.
Tell me I'm irresistible.
I love you, baby!
I can't tell you that.
Look at it! I love this life!
What could pick your spirits up more than getting back into the Fantasy Factory?
That's what I'm talking about.
So, Rob, when the internet rumors are flying that you're dead, that's something you're behind and you just do it to terrify your parents?
Didn't expect it to get so out of hand, you know what I mean? Like, obviously, like, I faked getting carried out of the club to, like, just to mess with the paparazzi only because they clowned him so hard. It was
right.
just a joke, but it got so much more out of hand than I ever expected. You know what I mean? And it was just an afterthought. Well, that, like, Rob Dyrdek was the afterthought. Like, no one even cared that Rob Dyrdek's getting dragged out of the club. It's just like, what's John Mayer up to? he's just having a good time with his friends, and it's just an afterthought that it's the photo of me being carried out of the club. Like,
it's kind of a bummer to see your future, isn't it, when no one cares?
Oh, man. But it's the beauty of that particular episode, because it's really like a redemption episode of making it up to the club, who was genuinely really mad. Like, I'm partners with them in a restaurant and was really mad because the cops give them tickets for over-serving.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And my mom was genuinely devastated. Like, even if it was a joke to me, devastated.
That, yeah.
Like, everybody at her office thinks, like, oh, your son's a drunk. You know, so it's more this ridiculous episode of two dudes, like, one bad influence friend trying to make everything right for getting a little out of control.
Now, yeah. You ended up, if I saw the trailer correctly, you ended up recording a song for her?
That's correct, called Rob's Mom.
Rob's Mom.
Rob's Mom.
Did that do the trick?
It really did.
All right, yeah.
It really doesn't, like, it's like John Mayer just recorded a song as an apology. Like, you want to know what? I don't care. I don't care how famous you are, how much money you got, Rob. You look terrible.
Did you know John Mayer before this, or did you guys somehow hook up just to play this prank?
No, I've known him for a while. You know what I'm saying? And it's just sort of like, it's just the idea of, like, you know, because I really, like, the first episode of Fantasy Factory, I was on some, like, because I would always just be so baffled at the storm of paparazzi anywhere he goes. It's just so shocking. It's
yep.
so weird, you know?
And yeah, like, it's ridiculous. I mean, it all started, I guess, when he went into overdrive. When he was dating Jennifer Aniston, obviously, but for some reason he's become a photo favorite ever since then. He can't go anywhere without people following him.
You know what I mean? And it's so. But I also love the idea that, like, throughout time he's always, like, messed with it. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And it, like, I was trying to get him to. I was like, look, man, let's. I want to let me. My idea for the show was going and me and him picking up a tranny, and then him, the tranny, dressing me, and then me and him going on a paparazzi run as his, like, new chick.
I like it. I like it.
Way too. We were going to try to do that for season one, but it was just a little bit over the top.
We are talking to our friend Rob Dyrdek on the phone right now. Fantasy Factory season two returns Thursday night at 9 o'clock on the MTV. It sounds bigger and better than before. Hey, last time we had you on, I think, or maybe the time before, you were talking about contests that you have that you allow some of your fans to come down to the Fantasy Factory. Have you been doing much of that lately? And how crazy has that been with people getting in there?
Well, you know, I mean, I feel like, you know, everybody that gets there is just so in shock each and every time. But, yeah, I keep them coming. Like, I got another one with DC I'm doing one with Monster. Like, just recently did one. I'm about to bring a bunch of guys down on Saturday from PacSun contest. But it's cool. You know what I mean? It's like, it is such a crazy place, and not that many people really get a chance to get in there and sort of live it, you know. So
it's got to be so weird. I mean, you're the guy who, you've got the keys to, you know, Santa's workshop or something that people have always heard about and have never been able to see with their own eyes, and you're the guy who lets them through. It's just bizarre that's where you work.
You don't got to tell me.
You know that?
I live this life, and every time I go there, I'm like, this is just so weird.
Yeah, it's a giant warehouse, for those of you that haven't seen it, with a skate park inside and all kinds of cool
amazing
stuff, a zip line, all
it's
kinds
beautiful
of
yeah.
It looks like Bobby Light is coming back this season. Is
yeah
that true?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Bobby Light comes back in the meanest way. Like,
Bobby Light is forever, first of all. And second of all, it looks like you're on stage with Blink 182.
I mean, it seriously evolved so quickly, too. Like I didn't, all of a sudden, like, I just talked to Travis, and I was like, because I wanted, you know, we're launching another line called DTA. And I was like, man, like, what are the odds of, like, because I had Bishop Lamont, like, and Ryu, like, they just wanted to do another Bobby Light song. And I was just partying one night in there, and they were there, and they found a beat, like, wrote the hook and said, come in here. And that's how it was born. Like, I would have never done it again, you know. And I really recorded, there was, like, five chicks in the booth with me. It was, like, the most ridiculous, like, like the not made for TV way to do it. And it just led to, like, I just asked Travis, like, what are the chances of you playing? You know, he plays the drums on every sick song, and like, I'm like, what are the odds of you letting me open up for Blink 182 and you play the drums? He's like, let's do it. And he's always on, so I'm like, you need to do a whole album. Let's do a whole album. And I'm like, there's just no way.
That's
like,
what I love about Travis. He really is the let's do it guy. Yeah. Doesn't matter. Good idea, bad idea, strange idea, he's in.
But that's what I'm saying. He's just that cool. You know what I mean? He's not too cool for school. He's just cool. He's down for whatever.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And I mean, God, I can't begin to tell you. Like, jumping a car 100 feet, getting attacked by a shark, jockeying a horse. Nothing is nerve-wracking as going out to perform a song in front of thousands of people. Like,
I'm sure.
I bet that's true.
Wow. What a, you don't want to be the guy that single-handedly brings down Blink-182 either.
No, you don't. You really don't.
What a great season it sounds like. Thursday night, 9 o'clock on MTV. Don't miss the Fantasy Factory. Rob, I hope we see some meaty and some beefy on the new series, too. I always love it when they pop up.
Come on, man. Staples.
Yeah, they're there all the time.
They are. They're all the time. All right, dude. Great to catch up with you. Come in and see us soon, all right?
All right. I'll see you guys soon. All the best.
Thanks, Rob.
Bye now. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. I always love having Adam Sessler on the program from G4, who, by the way, has gotten a promotion since the last time we spoke to him, Kevin.
What?
He's now the editor-in-chief of X-Play over there on G4. But I love having him on because he knows the most about a topic that I know the least about.
Yeah.
So it's always very entertaining and informational for me. Adam, welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show, my friend. How are you?
Thank you. Thank you. It's good being here.
I know very little about the games that you get excited about, but I can tell when you call us and say, guys, I got to tell you about this Tuesday. I know it's a big day for gamers and probably a big day for a lot of people listening.
Let's start small and go big. Wolfenstein. Yes.
Well, the classic game, Wolfenstein 3D, which came back out in the 90s, is kind of that was the first-person shooter game, which is now sort of a commonplace thing in your Halos and Call of Duty now. It's gone through a lot of sort of changes over the years. The most recent one was still about 5 years ago called Return to Castle Wolfenstein. This is its grand-ish return. It's a well-known name. This is not the strongest game that you can get right now. You're shooting Nazis, but they have occult things, and you have a thing called the Veil that makes you look into a different kind of evil portal. But you do get a shield that fires bullets back at the people that are shooting at you.
Oh, I like a shield like that.
Exactly.
And you can kill Nazis. As he says in the movie.
So it's got all those things, though it's a very familiar type of game that doesn't have a lot of invention for it.
Tell us about Batman Arkham Asylum.
All right, this is the biggie that's coming out this week, and what's really exciting is this means that the summer of no games to play is over. This is the beginning of the end of that.
Fantastic.
Batman games are historically craptacular. This is an amazing exception to that rule. Really, any game with a superhero in it tends to be pretty, pretty bad.
Right.
This is really neat. You play Batman, you're on Arkham Asylum, and what's cool about that is that you get to fight a lot of different famous villains from the comic books. And it's an entirely original story that's written by people that have worked on the comics in the past. And it really gives you a sense of power as Batman that when you hit someone in the face, it really hurts, that I really have never seen in any other Batman game. And it's a bunch of combat, and it's mixed with exploration. I think I probably played it for about 15 hours. And when it was over, I really didn't want to, you know, actually put it down. I wanted to go back and see if there's anything else left that I could possibly do.
Wow.
Yeah.
Hey, Adam, there have been so many incarnations of the Caped Crusader. Which Batman are we seeing in this one? Is it like the movies, like the TV show, like the comic book? What?
You know, it's kind of a hybrid of the comic book that's been established over probably the past 15 years, you know, the much darker Dark Knight.
Right.
Mixed a little bit with the Christian Bale in the movie.
No! No!
You know why? Because you can understand him.
Exactly.
Here's a little clip from that movie. So he's a little like Christian Bale, but except for you can understand what he says.
The Joker has been apprehended. Batman is now en route to Arkham Island.
Look at all this new security.
How's a guy supposed to break out of here?
Get up!
I set a trap, and you sprang it gloriously.
There's no escape, Joker.
I don't want to escape. They're having way too much fun.
It's over, Joker.
Over? Why, my dear delusional Dark Knight, it hasn't even begun.
So basically, he loves Arkham Island and doesn't want to have anything to do with leaving.
Exactly. Because, you know, it's a pleasant place to be.
Yeah, it's a mental facility, so why not?
Exactly. It really is. It's funny, when you're playing the game, you're trying to understand that this place ever looked good.
Right.
Because it's so decrepit with just like these torture-looking devices everywhere. You're trying to figure out when was its heyday, if it wasn't like the 12th century.
Right. And that brings us to our last video game, which is Shadow Complex.
Yes. Yes, this is a downloadable game for the Xbox 360 that, like, back in the old days when you had, like, the original Nintendo system, there were games like Castlevania and Metroid that, you know, you played them, they were 2D and they were side-scrolls. You just went from, you know, the right to the left of the screen.
Right.
This is recapturing all of that fun. It's that type of a game, but it's with the production values of a $60 game you would actually buy in the store. And it is ridiculously addictive. It's all about just kind of shooting some guys and then trying to find every little secret nook and cranny in a room and then finding all the goodies that upgrade your weapons or make you more powerful. This is definitely one you cannot put down. And for $15, it's about the best deal you're going to find this year.
Yeah, no kidding. And the word on this is it's super fast-paced, right? I mean, it doesn't lag for a second.
No, and also it doesn't slow down. Within about 30 seconds, you're already doing something. There's no slow build-up that we've gotten very used to in video games these days.
Right, like the storytelling and the setup and all that, yeah.
And that, you know, usually you start and you can't do anything, and you have to find something so you can do it. Now here, you get a gun, you shoot people in the head, you're happy.
Hey, Adam, I got two quick questions for you. One is, you mentioned that the summer of no good new video games to play is over. Is that how the calendar usually works? Is they gear up the big releases for fall, not even just for Christmas, but once fall begins, that's when they start hitting us?
Yeah, it tends to happen in fall. This is all because back in the old days, when the original Nintendo came out, these systems were seen as toys. And so with kind of the toy cycle, which always happens around the holidays, that's when all the games came out.
That makes sense.
I've always been under the impression that kids with time off, with school not in session, they might want to play a video game or two.
So right.
I try to encourage the industry to actually take advantage, but I think no one wants to really take that first big step and try out a game at the beginning of summer.
That's interesting. You're so right. I mean, I would think that would be – you'd be so happy if something came out in July if you were a kid looking for something to do.
I'd be happy.
All right, and last question for you. So what do you get now that you're editor-in-chief? Big office, big raise, more chicks, what?
A lot more stress.
A lot more stress.
Yeah,
good.
A lot more stress. Yeah.
Good.
That's the beautiful thing about business is bigger title usually means more work, less pay.
Exactly.
Well, congratulations anyway. Adam Sessler, of course, from X-Play on G4 airs weeknights at 8 o'clock. Always great to catch up with you, Adam. We appreciate you coming on the show.
Hey, my pleasure, guys.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ at 8:53.
You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph is here with another look at the showbiz beat for a Tuesday. What's going on? Hey, is Michael Jackson still dead?
Oh, yeah.
But they haven't buried him yet, right?
He's way dead.
Has he not been buried yet?
I remember him dying.
I can't think of another celebrity who's more dead than Michael Jackson. He is fully dead.
They're all about the same.
He is well dead, as they say. News coming out of the L.A. coroner's office today that Michael's death has been ruled a homicide. Thank you to the lawyer who emailed me and corrected me by saying homicide, by the way, is not murder.
Oh.
All murders are homicides,
right?
But not all homicides are murders.
Which ones aren't? Is that the manslaughter?
Manslaughter.
Oh, okay.
Any unnatural death, I think, is the definition of homicide. Any death not caused by natural causes.
Oh, okay.
So these were natural.
Someone else is responsible for the death.
Okay.
So I think that would include manslaughter and other charges, but not all homicides are murder.
Okay.
Gotcha.
All right? Okay. Got it?
No, but all right.
This is coming from a source inside the Ellis County coroner's office saying that Michael's death has been ruled a homicide. It's not a public or official announcement yet. We're still waiting on that. But by all accounts, his fatal combination of drugs will be determined that someone caused his death, and that person in question seems to be Dr. Conrad Murray.
Was this in the news?
Jackson's personal physician, and is the target of a current manslaughter investigation, and looks like he will be arrested and charged.
Wow.
That dude needs to rent a room in British Columbia. That's what he needs to do.
Speaking of the VH1 killer, and I bet VH1 is just pleased with as punch about that.
Sure.
That media tag that Ryan Jenkins has been given. Ryan Jenkins was the man who appeared on two VH1 reality shows that have yet to air after he killed his model ex-wife, or wife. We're not really sure if they were actually officially divorced or not, but we know they were married.
Yeah.
Was this in the news?
It was in the news, yes. A network spokesperson for VH1 has said that both Megan Wants a Millionaire and I Love Money 3, both shows that Ryan Jenkins appeared on, will be canceled and not aired on the network.
Yeah, what a surprise.
So we won't get to see Ryan Jenkins' last best work.
Oh, we saw
imagine if you're one of the other contestants on that show who, A, really thought they'd made it in show business, and, B, was really excited to tell all their friends and family they were going to be on TV. The whole season gets canceled.
Imagine if you're VH1, and you've sunk money into two separate programs that this douchebag was in, and now you have to pull all that programming and eat it, basically. That's bad for them. Inglourious Basterds is the number one movie at the box office this week, and EntertainmentWeekly.com has released their list of the 25 manliest movies ever made, because Inglourious Basterds certainly is a manly movie.
It is.
It is not for the faint of heart.
It is not.
Nor for the vagina of crotch.
No.
What?
I'm just saying, ladies aren't enjoying it nearly as much as the fellas are.
Okay. They do scalp Nazis, as he says.
Damn Nazis.
Nazis?
Yeah, that's Nazis. How they pronounce it in the movie. Here are your 24 other manliest movies ever made. Of which, Kevin, I'm predicting I've seen two.
How dare you.
The Magnificent Seven.
I've seen that movie.
No!
One of the great westerns of all time. Predator.
Yeah!
That's a manly movie.
I've seen that.
Really?
Yeah.
The Wild Bunch? Speaking of westerns, you ever seen The Wild Bunch?
No.
Another great, great western.
Not a western
Reservoir Dogs.
Seen it?
Yep.
Red Belt. The classic Tim Allen MMA movie.
No.
Red Belt.
It was just from last year,
by David Mamet. Yeah.
No, but it sounds like I need to.
It's manly.
Yeah.
It's got a lot of man on it.
Sure.
This is one of my favorite movies of all time, The Great Escape, about POWs in a Nazi prison camp.
Oh, okay.
And they break out based on a real story. Great film.
Yeah.
The Thing, John Carpenter's The Thing, that's a man movie. Bunch of hairy dudes in a cabin up in the Arctic tundra, and a creature comes out and starts eating them.
Oh, that's not good.
Good stuff. Aliens, of course. The Hurt Locker. This year's The Hurt Locker.
Mike saw that.
About the Iraqi bomb squads.
That's been raving about that.
I can't recommend that movie enough. Yeah. It's just amazing.
By all accounts, it's excellent. Another Western, The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly with Clint Eastwood.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
300.
Yes.
It's maybe one of the 25 gay manliest movies ever made.
That's what I was thinking.
It is sort of both.
Bunch of guys in Speedos oiling each other up and getting out their swords. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Was you know what I mean by news? Swords?
Oh, yeah.
You get one of my sword references inferring there?
Yes.
Yeah. It's about something else.
Yeah.
First Blood.
Oh!
How much more manly can you get than Rambo?
Yeah.
First Blood.
They drew First Blood!
Dr. No. You got to have a Bond movie in there, right? Dr. No. I would have put Goldfinger on the list. But you've never seen Dr. No? The very first James Bond movie?
Mm-mm.
Kevin?
I haven't.
Was it made in the 60s, Ralph?
Sadly, it was.
Then he's never seen it.
I can't keep up with what I'm doing today.
Neither can we. Fight Club?
Yeah.
Patton?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Rocky III? Jaws? Gladiator? I rented Gladiator the other day.
That's not the same thing.
It was not about guys in the Colosseum with swords and shields.
It was a fishing movie.
Wages of Fear.
Ooh. I don't know that one.
I don't know that one either. I'm chagrined to admit I don't know what The Wages of Fear is.
Hmm.
Spartacus. There's another great Gladiator movie. You like Gladiator movies? The Godfather. Bridge on the River Kwai, the original Longest Yard with Burt Reynolds playing football inside that prison. Ah, it's a great movie. Mm. Great football season coming up. Maybe we should talk about the greatest football movies ever made.
No,
maybe we should put
idea.
Together a list of those. And Hard Boiled, Young Fat.
Hey!
That is.
Yeah, classic Chopsocky movie.
I'm surprised by no Schwarzenegger movies on that list.
Predator.
Yeah. Oh, Predator was. Yeah. Okay, good. And know The Notebook, too. That's the one I was really waiting for.
Yeah.
I don't have
so
a notebook.
Much.
A no!
Notebook.
No!
Yeah. How to Lose a Man in 10 Days, also not
on the list.
Alex is, because she's manly, is complaining that there's no Cool Hand Luke on the list.
Oh, that's
a great movie, too.
Great dude.
It's
another good choice.
Most of those movies.
Well, you're a dude. What can I tell you?
I was married to a dude.
That's true.
Yeah.
You sure?
Yeah.
Did you ever check
No,
him?
He was.
Did you ever do like that broad who was running in that race?
They
had to do a little test to make sure.
Man or a woman? Let's take a test.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Blake Lively from Gossip Girl is 22 years old today. Rachel Bilson from The O.C. celebrates her 28th birthday. Claudia Schiffer is 39.
Come on.
TV chef Rachel Ray. There we go. That'll give your penis a rest. Talking about Rachel Ray. She's 41. Billy Ray Cyrus is 48. Tim Burton. Who have you seen the trailers for this Alice in Wonderland?
Yes, I have.
Boy,
yes.
Does that look fantastic. He is 51. Elvis Costello
Yeah.
turns 55 years old today. Singer Rob Halford of Judas Priest He's a manly man, that Rob Halford.
He sure
is. He's for the guys. He's 58 years old. Gene Simmons of Kiss celebrates his 60th birthday. Gene Simmons is 60 years old.
Wow.
And not a gray hair on his head. It's remarkable to me that his hair has stayed the same color for all these years.
Yeah, how could you possibly do that?
No idea. Hmm. Regis Philbin, 78 years old today.
You know what I love? I love Oreo cookies.
We know, Reg. Sean Connery, the original James Bond, is 79 years old today. And game show host Monty Hall.
No, not Montreal. This is Monty Hall.
Yeah. You don't know who he is, but we say it every year just so Bean can play that piece of
No, time. Not Montreal. This is Monty Hall.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show business.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and it is 9:43.
Ralph Garman is here with our final look at the showbiz beat for a Kevin and Bean show for a Tuesday. What do you got for us, dude?
Word coming out from inside the L.A. County Coroner's Office that Michael Jackson's death is a homicide. This according to law enforcement officials. It's not a public announcement yet, but Michael Jackson's death, a homicide. I don't know why Kat's laughing so hard.
I don't know why it's funny either. It's rude.
It's kind of sad, I think.
Bean's playing that. Actually. I'm not doing it.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I can control how you laugh, right.
Apparently, a fatal combination of drugs was administered to Michael Jackson before he died. However, they have said that no drugs were administered to him after he died, so...
Is that so the doctor laid off after a while?
Yeah, exactly. He stopped injecting once
he learned his lesson.
That's good. A little late.
Looks like Dr. Conrad Murray, Jackson's personal physician, who is the target of the manslaughter probe headed by the Los Angeles police, will indeed be arrested. That is the prediction of one insider with the LAPD. So we'll have to wait and see how things pan out, but it doesn't look good for old Connie.
No, it doesn't.
Pearl Jam has unveiled the video for their new single, The Fixer. Have you guys seen this yet?
I have not.
Mm-mm. It's awesome. Directed by Cameron Crowe.
Wow.
Who directed Almost Famous and a bunch of other really cool movies. He is also putting together a feature-length documentary on Pearl Jam. They opened up their North American tour Friday night in Toronto. And their opening act canceled. So Eddie Vedder went out and took the stage and was the opening act for Pearl Jam.
Really?
Yeah, how about that?
Hmm.
Turns out the lead singer for The Pharmacists, who was supposed to be their opening act, couldn't make it. So Eddie went out and did some Neil Young songs. Oh, I'm sorry I missed it.
Wow.
Huh. Hey, hey, bye, bye. So if you want to see that, the new Fixer video, you should see that.
Yeah.
That's out there on the intranet right now.
They're playing that Outlands Festival in San Francisco this weekend.
Wow, that sounds great.
Outside Lands is the name of it.
Bob Dylan.
Yeah.
I'm not kidding. Is being asked to voice a GPS system by a company that makes...
Wait a minute. My God.
Are you kidding?
Makes... car navigational devices.
Yeah, that's something we do.
The company has already had John Cleese do voices, Kim Cattrall from Sex and the City, Homer Simpson, and Mr. T, and now have asked Bob Dylan to voice a GPS system for automobiles.
Awesome.
I love it so much.
Here's the thing. It's so ridiculous, even Bob knows it's not a good idea. Here's what his statement says. I think it would be good if you're looking for directions and hear my voice saying something like, left at the next street. No, all right. You know what? Just go straight. So he knows. He may not be the most clear-headed.
Right.
GPS voice.
That's the best idea ever.
Did they contact him while he was out wandering in the rain with a hoodie on in someone's front yard?
He could have used the GPS, apparently. He got lost in the rain in Jersey the other day. And you know, I've been following the story of Elsie Poncher. Elsie Poncher is the woman whose husband had the crypt above Marilyn Monroe's.
Yes.
All right.
Here's the thing I didn't know about that. He bought the crypt from Joe DiMaggio, legendary Yankee baseball player who was married to Marilyn Monroe for a short period of time.
Right.
That's where Joe had his crypt, to be near his wife. Once they broke up, he didn't want it anymore. He sold it to this dude.
Oh, I see.
Okay.
Okay.
This dude had it in his will that he had to be buried face down over Marilyn Monroe. All right. I kid you not.
Love it.
So his wife, the widow, has decided to pull her husband out of the crypt and sell it off.
Okay.
Because he's dead and probably won't know the difference.
She turns him over.
So I told you she was up. She put it up for bid, right?
Right.
For auction. Mm-hmm. The final number is in. This is the real deal. This was paid for the burial space above Marilyn
Monroe. So this is it.
This is it.
Okay.
$4.6 million.
Wow! Are you kidding me?
Kid you not. So congratulations to Elsie Poncher and the bag of bones she's now hauling around in her trunk that used to be her husband.
$4.6 million.
Yeah. She's going to use the cash to pay off her mortgage, she says. She's going to move her husband into the crypt where she was supposed to be buried, and she's going to be cremated. So she's taking herself out of the equation.
The person who paid the $4.6 million knows that they don't get to enjoy that proximity to Marilyn Monroe until they're dead and they can't do anything about it, right?
Right.
That seems like a big fat waste of money.
It does.
Yeah.
Huh.
And lastly, in advertising news, perhaps the most offensive infomercial you'll ever see has been taken off the air. Apparently, it only aired once.
Wow.
In overnight hours in some markets, and has been pulled by the air for being too offensive. It's called A Spray. And A Spray's announcer in the commercial said, A Spray goes where other deodorants can't. A Spray your butt. A Spray your arms. A Spray your feet. You can even A Spray your privates. In the commercial, a woman is shown crossing her legs and spraying her crotch.
Wow.
Followed by the line, A Spray is safe for all your odor zones.
Yeah.
Doc Bottoms A Spray apparently will no longer be seen on television. However,
that sounds unnecessary.
You can find it on YouTube, though, if you're interested.
If I came across that late at night, I wouldn't be able to believe. I go, am I sleeping?
Sounds like the greatest thing ever.
A Spray.
A Spray.
What channel agreed to carry that commercial, I wonder?
Washington Post says what network was it? MSNBC. MSNBC wow. told the Washington Post that they aired the commercial once in the overnight hours and will never air it again. However, the Post says it has become a sensation on YouTube, so you can sure if you type in A Spray,
which I will be doing,
you can find the commercial for the butt deodorant.
B-hole has it over the A-hole for sure.
Good on all your odor zones.
Just the later.
The best kind of holes money can buy.
A.
Letter A. Spray. Okay.
It could almost read Aspray if you ran it together, sure. But it's a capital A, then spray.
Sure.
A big open manhole.
Today's celebrity birthdays.
Today we're out finding out what type of holes people prefer.
All right. Blake Lively.
Like there was no warning of a big open hole.
I got you. Great. Blake Lively from Gossip Girl is 22 years old.
Like your hole.
Rachel Bilson from The O.C. is 28. Claudia Schiffer is 39 years old today.
Why the hole got to be black?
How many hole clips do you have?
Oh, my God.
All. I'm guessing he's got them all.
Come on.
Ad nauseum. Rachel Rose, 41.
Rachel Rose. It's time to face the hole.
Billy Ray Cyrus turns 48. Tim Burton is 51. Elvis Costello is 55. Rob Halford of Judas Priest is 58 years old today. Regis Philbin turned 78 years old today.
You know what I love? I love Oreo cookies.
All right, Sean Connery, the original James Bond, is 79. And Gene Simmons, the legendary bass player for the band Kiss, turned 60 years old today. Gene is not in any position to talk, so I guess I won't be asking him what
he's doing
for his birthday.
Yeah.
Gene is busy. Gene's busy, tied up doing other things right now.
Got headphones on. He can't hear what I'm saying. So
he doesn't pay attention when he does have
He really doesn't. No. He pays no mind to me whatsoever.
Yeah.
How you doing?
Good. How you doing? See Gene Simmons back there anywhere?
Oh, you need him?
Yeah.
Okay.
Ask him what he's going to do for his birthday. Yeah, there's Gene. Hey, Gene.
Hi,
hey.
Sorry, Ralph.
That's all right.
Nodding off.
Yeah, you were.
It's my birthday. I'm 60, so you know,
yes,
cut me some slack.
I will.
Later on, I'll be receiving a cake from my family. And
you really should have seen that coming.
Yeah. Wow. No, I'm sorry I asked.
You should be.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Tomorrow morning, all new Kevin and Bean Show. Comedian David Alan Greer will be here. One of the judges for America's Got Talent, Piers Morgan, on the program tomorrow.
Oh, he's awesome.
And Emil Hirsch in the studio.
What?
Wow.
That's a good show.
That's a program. Today may have sucked, but tomorrow is a good Kevin and Bean Show.
Emil Hirsch is that new Taking Woodstock movie, which is great. Cool.
Okay. So, what about 40 minutes nonstop K-Rock music coming up next with our friend Kat Corbett? How about Fireflies by Owl City, ladies and gentlemen? Come on!
Please stop playing the song Fireflies. I hate it. I want to take forks and stab them in my eyes and gouge out my goddamn eyes. I hate that song. Please stop playing it.
as you requested, that's coming up in about 20 minutes. Also, we have some Foo Fighters, Bad Religion, Metric, and Kings of Leon straight ahead with Kat next on KFI.